Okay, the last mission in the first perek. Ma b'itam lemuad. Hopefully these are things we know already by now. Sha'atam mishalem chatz nezik migufo, muad mishalem nezik shalei min ha'aliyah. Okay, the one word in this Mishnah that's not 100% clear is what is aliyah as opposed to migufo. So the Gemara asks, my aliyah? Amri Lazar b'ma'ula shev nechasav, his best nechasim, what we've been calling until now, Meitav in the Chod, language of the Chumash, or Idis in the language of Chazal. Okay, and V'cheinu Omer, how do we know, you know, what buttresses this opinion that Aliyah refers to the best? V'cheinu Omer, V'yishkav Chizkiyo Avosav Yikberuhu B'ma'ale Kivrei Beis David. They buried him in Ma'ale Kivrei Beis David. What does it mean, Ma'ale? The upper, the heights. What does that mean? V'amar Lazar b'Ma'ale Eitzel Ha'me'ulim Shev Mishpacha. Ma'ale also means Ulim, the best. They buried him by the best kings of the Davidic dynasty. U'ma'aneinu David Shlomo. They buried him next to David Shlomo, which is tremendous covet. Obviously well-deserved if we know the story of Chizkiyahu. Okay, from here on, the Gemara segues into Divrei Agadta. We know more Nizkei Mamon for the rest of this perek. Excuse me. While we are talking about burying Malchei Beis David, the Gemara brings another drasha also by Rabbi Elazar. Vayikberuhu bekevrosav asher korlo be'ir David, talking about Asa HaMelech. They buried him in his grave, which he had dug for himself in Ir David. And they put him on a bed, on a bier, which was full of spices, besamim, sweet-smelling spices, which were very common because, you know, the mace would smell bad. So they would put besamim there. And zanim, but we're not sure what zanim means. My besamim is zanim. Rabbi Elazar Amar, zini, zini. Different types of besamim. Besamim besanim means, like we say, zanim in Hebrew nowadays, for strains of a species. Many different types of besamim. And Rishon Menachmani, or besamim, shkalam riachim, bolidei zima, doesn't mean many types of besamim, means the best besamim, super duper high quality besamim. And zini, zanim, is from a lashon of znus. Besamim that are so sweet, that smell so great, that whoever smells them will end up with zima. I guess, meaning if a woman wears this perfume, then all the men will be attracted to her in a very, very powerful fashion, and that's why they were called zanim. Okay. Now, while we mention a machlokas in interpreting a pasuk between Rabbi Elazar and Rishon Ben Nachmani, we mention another machlokas in interpreting a pasuk between those two amorim. Ki kovar shuchal lachdeinu pachim tom nu lebraklai. This is Yirmiyahu complaining about, if we know the story of Yirmiyahu, his enemies really put him through Gehenna. So they dug a pit to trap me, and they set a trap for my legs. So what kind of entrapment did they do? Rabbi Elazar shechashdu mizona. They suspected him, they accused him of visiting a zona. That was the trap. Not that they entrapped him to actually doing it. They just accused him of doing it. Who knows? Maybe they set up some situation where it might look like he had done so. And then they took advantage. I don't know. They got him to go someplace near where there was some zona unbeknownst to him. And they said, oh, look at everyone. He's going to a zona. No, not just a zona. Even worse, from adultery. We understand the Mandarmer zona. How does he get that shucha is a zona? Because there's a different pasuk. Sounds like Mishlei. That deep pit is a zona. So shucha teaches a zona. Elamanim shachshum eishes ish my shucha. Why is it called a shucha? Eishes ish isn't called a shucha, only zona is. Ato eishes ish not a zona. Is an eishes ish not a zona? An eishes ish is also a kind of zona. And therefore, they could both rely on that pasuk as shucha mukazona. Bishlom elamanda amar shechashdu. But of course, we wonder, like, if it says shucha mukazona, why would one mandarmer make it an eishes ish, which is a kind of zona, but doesn't seem to be directly there. So the chorek is the next line in the Gemara. If it's Eishes, we understand why Yirmiyahu says that Hashem, you know, they were plotting to kill me. They were plotting to kill him, because if they could accuse him of Eishes, then he's Chayiv Misa. If they only accused him of a zona, then no Chayiv Misa. Why were they plotting to kill him? The answer is that's referring to something else. That they threw him into a muddy pit. They actually did. So that's referring to a different incident. Darash Rava. you know, where he would sink in the pit. Darish Rava, my dichsiv, when Yirmiyah complains about his enemies, he also davens to Hashem to punish his enemies. They should be they should have some stumbling block in front of you. When you're angry, you should do to them. Okay, this seems very cryptic. What exactly is what michshol is he asking Hashem to do to his persecutors exactly? So, Amr Yirmiyah Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Afilu B'Shal Shosun Tzedakah. Even when they're doing tzedakah, when they're giving tzedakah, and when they're giving tzedakah, tzedakah is tremendous zechus, we should never underestimate the importance of tzedakah, so then that might help them out very much. No, Hechshilam V'Nei Adam Sheinu Mugadim, put an obstacle, let them, instead of giving to proper poor people, let them give to improper people. Kedei Shelo Yikablim Schar, and they won't get schar. Okay, how exactly, where's the remnant of tzedakah here? So Tos says, like, how do they know tzedakah? Tos says, because lefanecha means tzedakah, because of a pasuk in Yeshayah, v'halach lefanecha tzedakah, so lefanecha is a remnant to tzedakah. There are other opinions. Rabbi Yeshayah, the Shittim Gubetzes, and the Maharshah. Back to the Gemara as well, say maybe be'is apcha, because it says matan b'seiser yichpe'af, giving tzedakah subdues Hashem's anger, so maybe apcha is a remnant to tzedakah. If they want to give tzedakah to subdue Hashem's anger at them, be'is apcha, no, when you're angry, don't let them subdue your anger, and don't let them do tzedakah. Okay, so idol fanech or apcha is a remnant to tzedakah. Okay, very fascinating drasha. Many of the Mefarshim here were worried about not necessarily, you know, they weren't getting involved in how we know this drasha about Yirmiyah so much as a philosophical objection, which is, hold on, these people were trying to give tzedakah. Basically, Yirmiyah is telling Hashem, mess them up and mess up their mitzvah so that it backfires, so they won't get schar. Really? That's a bit of a harsh judgment. If I try to do a mitzvah and somehow Hashem purposely messes me up, I don't get schar? Is that fair? Okay, so whether it's fair or not, you could debate from now till whenever. But it's Gemafurish Gemara in Brachos, right? In Brachos they darshim. What does it mean? Vayikasev sefer zikaron lefanav liyirei Hashem ulechon shvei shemo. Who are chon shvei shemo? The Gemara in Brachos says, Amar Vashi, choshel adam laso tzmitzel v'nenes v'losah, ma'lo alav akasuk ilosah. This is found in many mekoros in Abbas Rebbe Nosson. Also, if a person tries sincerely to do a mitzvah, and fails, out of an illness, out of no fault to them, because Hashem was machshel them, or, you know, life was machshel them somehow, then they get schar, right? Ma'alav ha'kalsu ki lo asa, they get schar as if they did it. Okay, that's fair on Hashem's part. Right, there's a, right, isn't this a famous vart from the Chafetz Chaim? That in a siyum we say, ono ha'meil v'heinu ha'meilim, ono ha'meil v'kam l'schar, v'heim ha'meil v'heinu v'kam l'schar. So Chafetz Chaim says, what does this mean? We work and we get schar. They work. They don't get it right. The people out there who work in business and make $1 million, they don't get schar. They made $1 million. They get a different schar. We get Olam Haba and they get $1 million. But you can't say they don't get schar like out there in the business world. You know, if people work, if they don't work, they don't get. If they work, they get schar. You get your salary if you work. So how do we say they don't get schar? So okay, there are other answers. The Chafetz Chaim is a famous word. He says no. It doesn't say anu matzlichim u'makabim schar v'heim matzlichim einu makabim schar. We succeed. No, obviously, out there in the world, whoever succeeds gets schar. That's the free market economics. But amelim, out there in the business world, you don't get schar for being amelim. If you work very hard and you fail, then you don't make any money, right? You work very hard in a business venture and it fails, you don't make any money. You don't get money for working. You only get money for succeeding, right? So out there in the world, in the gashmi world, you get schar for succeeding, but not for your amelus. On Amelim Kabbalim Schar, learning Torah, regardless of how much we succeed, we get Schar for our Amelos. Okay? It's a nice part. And that's Mufurish Gemara and Brachos, that if you try to do a mitzvah. So here it's a mystery. Why did these people not get Schar? Right? Even if Hashem listened to Yirmiyahu. It doesn't say whether he listened or not. But let's assume he listened to Yirmiyahu. Yeah, Yirmiyahu was a Chashav person. Why wouldn't they get Schar? They were Chashav Lasos Mitzvah, and they had a Michshol. So there are a few answers to this. The Nimuke Yosef is actually quotes the Yad Ramah here, Kedarka Bakodesh in the back, and he's actually very worried about this Gemara. He's very worried about this Gemara. Why is he worried about this Gemara? He thinks that if you teach this Gemara to all the rich people, you'll have a lot of problems fundraising. Because what do you mean? Someone will say, well, I don't get schar. After all, I give tzedakah. What if the guy's not mahogan and I won't get schar? I'm not going to bother to give tzedakah. So he's very worried about the societal implications of this Gemara. So he says something that seems very radical in terms of pashup shot in the Gemara. Says the Yad Ramah here. Says the Yad Ramah here, quoted in the Nimuke Yosef. He says, Avada schar yeshlo, right? Well, what does he say? First, he says, Hade in a makabal schar, that means she yodea, but only if you know he's not mahugan, he's not proper. Only if you know he's bad. Aval, in a makur of efshishu hagor, schar yeshlo. But if you don't know, and you tried to give to a good ani, and you messed up, then of course you get schar. Shal shem mitzvah chavid, you're trying to do a mitzvah. Va'odi, lo te mahachetun del, they come and mugan, makushe in a nikarim. And also, then the ani won't be able to get money anymore because everyone will say, how do I know you're proper? Maybe I won't get schar. Avadi gets schar for trying to do tzedakah. What was this case? This case, they knew they weren't mugadim and gave them anyway.
So why did they do that?
So here it's a bit of a dachlip shot in the Gemara. What do you mean? Hashem's machshel sounds like they messed up, not they knew they weren't mugadim and gave anyway. So first of all, this depends on what it means anashim she'inim mugadim. Who are anashim she'inim mugadim? Right, the same thing we mentioned later is very clear, that it doesn't mean rich people who pretend to be poor. Because then why would they give on purpose tzedakah to rich people? That doesn't make sense. That's just illogical. L'chora noshim she'inu mugonim here means rishayim. There are poor people who are good people, and there are poor people who are rishayim. What's the difference? So, Sefer Chassidim here points out, it's not that, oh, the guy's starving, has nothing to eat, so we start checking his tzitzis. No, the question is what he's going to do with the money, right? I don't know, anyone ever live in New York City and you always have these debates, these guys snoring on the subway in New York City, right? If you're a kind-hearted person, should you give them money? And people always say, no, don't give money to the guys, even if you're a kind-hearted person. Don't give money to the guys begging on the trains in New York City because they're drug addicts. And they're just looking for money to buy drugs, and you're not helping them by getting them more drugs. They'd be better off without drugs, right? So sometimes you give people money, it's not necessarily helping them if they're going to use it. Yeah, you know, they're the drug addict, it was in Gashmiot, they were going to use it to just harm themselves physically. But even if they're going to use it to harm themselves spiritually, what if they're not a drug addict? They're just looking for money to do a virus. What do they do? They want to buy, they just want to buy cheeseburgers. Or they want to, they want to pay to go to a zona or whatever. So it's not helping them to give the money. It's actually hurting them to give the money. They'd be better off without the money in such a case. So if you assume anashim she'inim mugonim, it means not rich people who pretend to be poor, but rishayim who would use the money to their detriment instead of their benefit, then maybe we can bedochak except the Yad Ramah. What does it mean Hashem was machshel anashim mugonim? Not he fooled them. If he fooled them, they would have gotten schar. Hashem, instead of sending their way, making them meet aniyim who were worthy people, he made them meet aniyim who were rishayim. And they knew these aniyim were rishayim, and they knew they were begging for money to do aveiros. And they gave them anyway, because they were also rishayim. So they said, okay, you need the money, it's day machsoro, because from their perspective, it's important to do aveiros. So therefore, they on purpose gave to, they attack a real poor people, but they gave to poor people who were looking for money to do aveiros. And they didn't mind, because they liked doing aveiros. They were the Rishayim of the door. And therefore, Hashem was machshel them, but he was machshel them to do it on purpose.
The whole discussion, how can we assume that the people who are giving the tzedakah are Rishayim? We have to assume that if the whole discussion is around whether they get Sakhar or they don't get Sakhar, we assume that they're interested in Sakhar.
We assume they're Rishayim. We have to assume that they're Rishayim. Well, here it gets a little tricky. These are obviously the people who tried to kill Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Now here, you could look at it different ways. If you want to, you could take a different perspective and say they were tzaddikim who were trying to kill Yirmiyahu HaNavi, and somehow they just got stuck in a little sinas chinam, and you could read the Hakdam of the Netziv to say for Bereishis, etc. But I think, at the very least, the Yad Ramah is reading it in the way I'm explaining. Would have to say is reading it in a simpler way. No, these were taka very bad people. That's why they wanted to kill Yirmiyahu. So it's a good question. You read, say, for Yirmiyah, are the enemies of Yirmiyah very good people who tragically made a hashgafic mistake? You know, maybe that's even plus a shot. Okay, but let's give ourselves the right to assume that at least perhaps, no, they're attacking just bad people. So,
venenas below us, mikadaskar, and especially when it comes to tzedakah,
as the Amorah points out, you don't want to tell people. You know, you don't give people an excuse not to give tzedakah.
So one answer, I know this little dachuk, is the Avrama. He says, nasnu. He makes an okimta. What's the okimta? The okimta is yad'u. Shehamekablim einam mehuganim. They knew that they were improper people.
And I'm going to have to add to that, not they knew they were rich, then they wouldn't have been friars and given them tzedakah, but they knew that they were Rishayim, and they didn't mind giving tzedakah to Rishayim, and therefore they didn't get tzar because it wasn't bonus, it was b'mesed. If you want to say a similar idea, but a little less radical, then that's what Ritzvi Pesach Frank says, or Pesach, that's Ritzvi Pesach Frank, the Rambam Yerushalayim. Right, and the Har Tzvi was wondering about this. It was in the course of an essay about this more general topic, and he quotes the Shvas Yaakov, and the Shvas Yaakov, okay, I omitted something a little, I put an ellipsis. You have to look inside the Shvas Yaakov to see exactly what the Shvas Yaakov meant. But the Shvas Yaakov basically says something very reasonable. He says, Nen Asvelo Asah means, you did, what do they call it? Everybody? Due diligence, right? Nen As means you checked. And you got messed up? Yeah, you have to check which anim you give it to or how to do a mitzvah. If you tried your best and due to certain things beyond your control after doing due diligence, the mitzvah got messed up, you get schar. Nen as v'lo asah. But we all know, like, there's ones and then there's pshia, right? If you just didn't bother to check, you know, sometimes people at least, you know, I wanted to go to the shir, but I missed the bus. So again, if he checked the bus schedule, was on time for the bus, and who knows, something weird happened and he missed the bus because the bus driver messed up that day, then Nenas, he gets schar. But, you know, we all know in real life. What does it mean? It means that, you know, he woke up a little late and took his time at breakfast and figured, you know, well, the bus might be a little late anyway, and I'll come 10 minutes after the bus, and lo and behold, surprise, surprise, he missed the bus. So that's not Nenas Losa, that's Pshia. He should have double-checked. And that's exactly what the Har Tzvi says here. Says the Har Tzvi here, excuse me. This was not an unforeseen circumstance. This was a common case, and you should have checked them out. So that's a little easier to understand. That's Mamash Amichel. You don't have to say it's amazing, right? But I think it's very similar. Says the Har Tzvi. He also makes an okimta. The okimta. This wasn't a michshol that they couldn't have gotten out of. No, it was a michshol. Hashem sent them an Asher Jena Muganim. They could have easily checked, right? Haya efshar levarer bechashiv shia below onus, or belachein. That wasn't nenas. That was pshia. Yeah, they tried to do a mitzvah, but they didn't try hard to do at least a reasonable due diligence. And therefore, if you don't do due diligence, you can't claim onus. And they weren't nenas v'losa, they were pashim v'losa. That's why they don't get schar.
Could you do rov here? Let's say you have a group of people collecting, and you know some of them are good, maybe, but some of these maybe aren't good. Can you go after rov and say, well, I did my best, I just get to everybody?
Look, that might depend.
Maybe no.
Right, look, in the end, it might depend on practicality, meaning how much money are you giving and how much time do you have to do due diligence. Obviously, what does it mean you could find out? If there are 100 people come to my door every day and I could spend an hour checking out each of them, then that's not called I could find out. So I think at a certain point one has to use common sense and say could find out given a reasonable use of my time. You know, if you want halacha lamaisa, you know, I'm not giving up psak halacha, but if you want halacha lamaisa, my personal practice, not halacha lamaisa, just interesting tidbit, my personal practice is that, you know, every ani I meet on the street or comes to my door who you never know exactly what they are, and unfortunately, the more you know, the more you find out that not so pashat, I give a little money to, a shekel or five shekel or something, depending on where I meet him. But not more than that, because I would think that's irresponsible, because who knows what they are. And then when I want to give real money, so then I give it to an organization or a gabbai who does the due diligence for me, because I don't have time to sit there and check out everyone's business. So that's my personal practice. So that's, I think, to not send people away empty-handed, to give every guy the kotel a shekel, to give every guy who comes to my house 5 shekel, just to not insult them. So I think my due diligence is, what can I do? But if the guy wants more than 5 shekel, then I'm sorry, but, you know, go to the gabbai tzedakah. And I just, I don't feel it's responsible to give some guy who I don't know who he is. And you look at the letters, but those are only worth so much. Okay, weiter. Here, I thought you could say another answer based on the Sefer Chasidim. The Sefer Chasidim is not dealing with our question at all. He's just pointing something out. And what does he say? He clearly says, Anoshe She'enim Uganim does not mean fakers who aren't poor. It means people who may very well be poor, but want the money to do bad things with instead of to do good things with. And what does he say? It's with Tov Melog, let's see where it is, yeah. La'aniyim She'enim Uganim, Asher Bahem Amal Rus Ruach, Lo Odel She'nechel Lo'ovon. Right? Better to give to a tzaddik ani than to a Rasha. Ani, not only that, it's a sin if you give to a Rasha. Shu nosin the pritzim, nosin sunis nosta, prutzim, you give him money to go to his own home, makayim mordim ash kadish baruch ba'olam, and you help them rebel against Hashem in the world. He makes a big chiddush here. It's a sin, it's an aveira to give to anoshim she'enim uganim. Okay, maybe you could say, he's not answering our question, but maybe based on that, you could say, when did the Gemara in Brachos say you get schar for trying to do a mitzvah? If you tried to do a mitzvah and you did nothing. You tried to do a mitzvah and you did nothing, you get schar. But it could be if you tried to do a mitzvah and you did an aveira, because giving to an Asher She'enim Uganim is an aveira, then that's worse. That could, he doesn't say that, I'm adding to him. Maybe if you try to do a mitzvah and do an aveira, then okay, maybe it's enough that you don't get punished for the aveira, but you're not going to get schar for doing an aveira. If you try to do a mitzvah and do neutral, Hashem will give you schar for trying. If you try to do a mitzvah and do an aveira, Hashem won't punish you for the aveira. But he's not going to give you schar for doing an aveira, maybe. So Efshar, you could say, you know, I don't know if it's true or not, but Ula, Shlomar, Alpi, Sefer Chasidim, Im Asa Aveira, Eino Mekabel Schar. Okay, maybe you could say you don't get schar if you did an aveira. Okay, the same because he didn't say that. I'm just adding to it.
There's a little tosis here that may relate to the same question and gives a completely different answer.
Okay, how, what do you mean by that?
It says, the book I've seen in Israel, that she had no source
code.
In other words, the distinction between Israel and Goy. That the Yahweh is talking about a Goy who doesn't get Sahar even if he's
Otherwise, what is Tosas trying to? Are these Anshe and Nosus who are Vachim Nafsho not where the Goyim who are trying to kill Yirmiyah?
Tosas seems to imply that they are.
If that's what Tosas means. I wish, yeah. I guess the question is how to read Tosos. If you read Tosos as, hey, look, he wasn't talking about all the Jews. He was only talking about, there was some weird gears that, oh, he was cursing all the Jews. No, he wouldn't have cursed all the Jews. He's only cursing a few evil Jews. But that's why I understood Tosos. But Abe is saying, you understand Tosos saying, it's not Jews, it's Goyim. Although, still not, you know, it's a chiddush, I'm saying it's a goyim. Then you could say, by goyim it's different, and that's already the...
They only get credit if they
correct.
Right.
Okay, maybe, you know, if that's what Tosis means, I just, or I'm, did goyim ever try to do anything to Yirmiyah? I don't know. I really don't know. Okay, sorry, maybe,
you know.
Maybe Nachrim do not have that. Because we don't have this fundamental assumption. Maybe, I just... All right, Tzarchia. Anyway, the most interesting...
Is simply it's, I don't talk against other people
I've been an Anatot as opposed to all Jews.
Against all, I'm
that's what I thought. That's what I thought. Not like what Abe said. That's what I thought. Okay. Anyway, the most interesting answer is clearly given by Rabbi Elchanan. Rabbi Elchanan, in the back of the Kobos Haris in Yevamos, has Dugmos, Lebi'uri, Avgados, Alderach HaPshat. Alderach HaPshat doesn't really mean Pshat, like the literary, simple sense. By Pshat, he means logical analysis. How to explain Avgados based on logical analysis. You know, Pshat, logical analysis opposed to mysticism. And they're very, very fascinating. And one simon is about this issue, and what he basically answers, first I want to start with how he answers, is, he has a great answer. He says, there's basically tzvei dinim in mitzvos. Right? There's maisa, and there is kavana. So what does it mean you get schar if you tried to do a mitzvah and didn't do it? It doesn't mean you get schar for the maisa. You didn't do it. It means you get schar for your kavana. So if you tried to do a mitzvah, you were nenas, you get schar for your kavana. Let's take another example. What if you do a mitzvah without kavana? If we would paskin, which is still unclear, that mitzvah is yitzvah kavana, then you get schar for the maisa and not for the kavana. So sometimes you get schar for the maisa and not for the kavana. If I blow shofar without kavana, even this, you know, sometimes you get schar for the kavana without the, or better example, right? Rashi says in Chumash, if you drop a coin, if a coin falls out of your pocket and a poor person finds it, you get schar. Give that to the maisa without kavana. Sometimes you get for the kavana without maisa. If I tried to do a mitzvah, but it didn't work out. Says Rabbi Elchanan, but here you're just talking about the Rishayim. The Rishayim did not have kavana to do a mitzvah l'shma. Why did the Rishayim want to give tzedakah? We have no idea why they wanted to give tzedakah. Maybe they wanted to give it shlo l'shma just to like bribe Hashem, you know, mata b'seisur yichpa af, to not punish them. Maybe they just wanted to do it for their reputation or to show off they were giving tzedakah to get honored at the dinner. Maybe it was just to pretend they were righteous. Who knows? But he makes an assumption, which is not a crazy assumption. It's a reasonable assumption because we're talking about Rishayim here. If Yirmiyah was cursing them, l'chor, they were very bad people, right? He wouldn't have cursed reasonable people. So therefore, since they had no kavana and they had no maisa, there's nothing left to give them schar for. So says Rav Elchanan, he says, no. There's beis dinim be kiyum mitzvos. There's maisa and kavana. And therefore, what do we say? Maisa and kavana. In a regular case of nenas velo asa, you get no schar for maisa, but you get schar for kavana, and that's malo lukas ilo so. Doesn't mean you get both aspects of the schar. You get one aspect of the schar. However, in the case of a rasha shelo l'shma, who is nenas velo asa, then there's no schar for the maisa because he's nenas velo asa, and there's no schar for the kavana because he didn't have good kavana, and therefore he gets no schar. Okay, very, very poshut. Interestingly, he says, why are they tzvei dinim? And he says, there are tzvei dinim and mitzvos here. He makes it something very philosophical, which is, and these are all philosophical. Basically, dugmos lebi'uri hagadlus al derech philosophy. He says, there are tzvei dinim, the famous hakira of, I mean, it's a famous hakira of everyone. You know, famous hakira of the Rambam in the 16th paragraph of the third book of Nebuchim. You know, if you want to go all the way back, the famous hakira of Plato in the Euthyphro. Right? I'll paraphrase Plato, just to clean up the language a little, right? Does God love mitzvos because they're good, or are the mitzvos good because God loves them? Meaning, are the mitzvos inherently good? They have some inherent good effect? And then Hashem commanded them because they're inherently good, or no? They're good because you're mekayim Hashem's commandments, and mekayim Hashem's commandments is an avodah of Hashem. So, like, they're good before Hashem commanded them, or no? They're good after Hashem commanded them to be mekayim the commandment of Hashem. And this is a famous halachic philosopher. Some philosopher says the reason mitzvos are good is, right, in the Rambam's days, there's a big machlokas between the two big schools of Muslim philosophy. The reasons mitzvos are good is because they're inherently good things. Hashem was just so smart that he knew to give us an Eitz HaTovah and command us the inherently good things that made an inherent tikkun. And other philosophers say, no. They're not inherently good. Hashem commanded them. Once Hashem commanded them, following Hashem's commandment is good because it's serving Hashem. Says Rav Elchanan, They both sound right. They're both logical. There's two reasons why it's good to do mitzvos. Number one, because objectively the action is a good action. Number two, because when you want to do something because Hashem said so, you're being meshavet yourself to Hashem and coming closer to Hashem and being a tzaddik. And he says that's the tzvedin. And the maisa is the objective advantage of this action. This is an objectively good action. Helping poor people is an objectively good action because now the poor person is better off and you've helped them. The kavana is because, regardless of what the action is, you had kavana to serve Hashem. Right? Once Hashem commanded it, now there's tzvedinim. Having kavana to serve Hashem, regardless of what the action is good. So that's he makes the tzvedinim philosophical tzvedinim. There's tzvedinim in goodness in the world. The action can be objectively good, regardless of whether Hashem commanded it, or it's good to follow Hashem, regardless of what he said. Says the mice is the objective action, the kavana is following Hashem. These were shown, they weren't trying to follow Hashem. They don't get scarred for that, and they didn't end up doing good actions, so they don't get scarred for that. Okay, that's, I think, a very nice philosophical answer to our question. Now, going on in the Gemara, uvekavod asulo be'moso. Once we're talking about, this is going back, not based on the same people talking, or based on the same pasuk, meaning the pasuk of Yimuch Shalom Lufanecha is the same pasuk as Yodata Kol Atzasam Alay Lamos. This is just going back to the beginning. We talked about Chizkiyahu dying. And specifically what about? About the honor they gave Chizkiyahu when he died. Again, well-deserved honor, right? He was almost Mashiach. The covered also of Moso. Melamed Sheyoshiva Yeshiva Al-Kibra. What great honor did they do for Chizkiyahu, right? So I don't know. And the queen of wherever dies, I don't know what honor they do for her. When a Jewish king dies, what's the greatest honor you can do? They made a yeshiva on his kever. Right? That's the greatest honor. They honored him by having yeshiva. Pligibar of Nasra Rabbanan Chad Omar Shlosha. One says the yeshiva lasted 3 days. We have Shlosha Yom Lebechi, we find. And Avelis Chad Omar Shiva, because we have Shiva Yimei Avelis. But Omar Le Shloshim, some people say Shloshim, because we have Shloshim days of Avelis. Now here, Tosfos asks a halachic question. He says, hold on a second, isn't it a Furish Gemara? He doesn't ask us a question, he just throws it at the end. Isn't it a Mefurish Gemara in Brachos that you're not allowed to learn Torah in a cemetery, on a kever, because of Loig Rosh? Same way you're not allowed to wear tzitzis out in the cemetery, and you're not allowed to fill in the cemetery. You're not allowed to learn Torah in the cemetery because of Loig Rosh, because you can learn Torah and the dead people cannot learn Torah anymore, and therefore it is disrespectful. So how could they make Yeshiva al-Kivro? It's an Isser of Loig Rosh. And Tosla says here, first he explains why they did this great honor, because he deserved this honor, Mida Kenegamida, because he spread Torah knowledge, because they said in his days every little kid knew all of Sefer Taros. It didn't mean Mamash on his kever. That would have been Usher. Man, Dalet Amos away from his kever when there's no Isser of Loig Rosh. Okay, the Rosh says the same thing. I think we saw it quoted in the Mekor Yosef, was on the Mekor sheet, and a few other Rishonim. So, how do you answer this question of Loig the Rosh? So one answer is Tosos and the Rosh, right? Rechuk, Dalet Amos. But we might have thought intuitively that there'd be an easy common sense answer to this question. What easy common sense answer to this question would you think of? Yeah, when is it Loig L'Rosh? If I'm Stam learning near the Kever, I'm learning my own Torah near the Kever for my own purposes, that is Loig L'Rosh, like the tzitzis and the tefillin. I'm wearing my own tzitzis and I'm wearing my own tefillin for my own mitzvah, so I'm Stam learning. I don't know, I'm catching on the Daf Yomi near the Kever. That's Loig L'Rosh. But over here, they weren't Stam learning. They were Davka learning for his Kavod. They were Davka trying to be a Chabad. And when you're Davka trying to be a Chabad, the mace, that's not Loig L'Rosh. That is Kavod a mace. Okay, that's what most Rishonim say here, unlike Tosos.
That's also suggested by the Gemara and Banu Sheikh that you could say Kien, you could say...
correct. Kien, and as a matter of fact, the Tosos of Benu Peres, the Shidu Gebet says, he brings the beginning of this Tosos as a separate answer. He has a different version of this Tosos where it was two answers. The second answer was Dalet Amos. The first answer was, oh, this isn't Loig L'Rosh. They were honoring him because he taught so much Torah. There's an obvious way to honor him. And this is also what the Rimi Gash says, the Shut Rimi Gash quoted in the Shidu Gobetzas here says the exact same thing. The Rimi Gash is only for Rosh Hashiva that's a proper way to give honor. But and the Mikayos say from the back, the same thing from the Adraman. Many Rishonim saying, no, if it's being done for his kavod, that is different. So the Rimigash and the Rama in the Mukiyosef and many others say the kavod hames is mutter. Interestingly, if you look in Hilchos Avelos in the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Shin Mem Dalid, I forgot what Sif, it says there, you're allowed to say psukim and shmuos and Torah in a cemetery or by a kever for the sake of kavod hames. And if you look on the side there in the Baragoli, it says, ah, it's the Nemuka Yosef proves it from an agata at the end of the first paragraph of Baba Kama. So this is the makar. Okay, there are other sugyas that might hint to this, but this is the mefurish makar that you're allowed to have Torah learning for the sake of kavod hames. This also, for example, you're not allowed to tefillah. It's also a little rush, they can't daven. Oh, we say Kaddish right next to the Kefir. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you can, if you stam want to say Kaddish, you can't do that next to the Kefir. That's the tefillah next to the Kefir. But we say Kaddish for Kavod HaMeis. Everyone knows a big Kavod HaMeis, someone says Kaddish for him. And therefore, since for Kavod HaMeis, it's mutter. So, halacha l'maisa, we do not paskin like Tosfos here. Halacha l'maisa, we paskin 100% like the Yad Ramah here and the Rimigash, etc. And we say Tehillim for Kavod HaMeis, we say Kaddish for Kavod HaMeis, and learning Torah for Kavod HaMeis. And the Hespedim are always Divrei Torah for Kavod HaMeis, etc. Okay, good. The Tam and Bino Tam here, it's a little unclear. I admit what he's saying. He says, the truth is, I cut it off too early. But then he says, Inami, he says like Tosos. Okay, but we already knew Tosos. He says something strange. He says, the Harmina Loig the Rush Terrifo says the Osei Vitoral of the Mace. You're not allowed to turn in front of the Mace. That's Loig the Rush. That's also before you bury the mace. Look, once he's buried, there's an Indian called Sosa Vidobos Bakever. His lips move in the kever, and he learns with you. Once he's buried, it's mutter because his lips move in the kever. So it's not exactly clear. The problem is that the Gemara in Brachos seems to say in a cemetery it's also to learn. In a cemetery, they're all buried. So I admit, it's not 100% clear what he means, because the Gemara says very clearly it's usher in a cemetery. In a cemetery, where all the people there are buried. So it's a little bit tricky. Okay, there are many ways to be mechalek, but he seems to be taking some other approach. He seems to be saying that, you know, maybe only when the mace was mutal afunav, that is usher. Once the mace is buried, somehow when you learn Torah, the mace learns with you. And if the mace is learning with you, then it's not loading the rush. Loading the rush is if you were tzitzis, the mace doesn't, or you were tefillah and the mace doesn't. If you learn Torah and the mace learns Torah with you, then how's that loading the rush? He's also learning Torah with you, as, you know, whatever that means. I don't know if it physically means his lips are moving the kefir, but it doesn't matter. Whatever it means, right? So, again, this is very unclear, because it does sound like it doesn't match completely the Gemara in Brachos, and you have to make some sort of okenta. But certainly what it sounds like, right? The reason I'm putting parentheses is because you might make the okimta, he only means sifsosa medovos makaver if it's a big gadol Torah and you're saying over things you learned from him, and then his sifsosa medovos makaver, in which case he's similar to the Rimigash. But he says, achar shenikbar mutter mishum. This fossa dovos makever the enkan loing the rush. Okay, that is, you know, if he really means it in this sense, you have to explain, you know, what's the difference between this and the Gemara that asks in a cemetery. Maybe it only meant in a cemetery when the mace is not buried, even though it's dachuk. Maybe that only meant to be carry a sefer Torah and learn from it, because he can't read from the Sefer Torah. But if you say a Torah Shabbat Peh, it's okay, because his lips can also say a Torah Shabbat Peh.
Why don't we have that we do this minhag today? There was a famous Gemara about Rav who died, and Afilu Birchat Mazon Lo Yadam.
Why don't we do the minhag of the Hoshev Yeshiva Al Kivro today? Right. So I think the answer is because the people who die nowadays are not in the Madriga of Chizkiyahu, right? Because the Gemara in Yitzayim and Aleph tells us we don't do what they did to Chizkiyahu today. So obviously, Ah, you'll say maybe they were. Okay, who's going to have the chutzpah to say, you know, they're a great gedolim? I don't mean, you know, the people are friends. I mean, there are, you know, I'm a robber. Even nowadays, you know, where Avadya passed away, he was a, yeah, okay, but we're not bold enough to say he's like Chizkiyahu HaMelech. So that's probably why. But probably Dalet Amos away. Yeah, okay. The continuing, the Gemara Tanar about the Kavod Asalo B'Moso, Zeh Chizkiyahu HaMelech Yehuda. Meaning, that's not a chiddush. The pasuk is written about Chizkiyahu HaMelech Yehuda. But what was the kavod? 36,000 people marched in his funeral procession. Chalutzei katzef means it's something we don't do nowadays. They would like rip their shirt, which they still don't do nowadays, and then pull it down off the shoulder and bare their shoulder, which was a sign of very intense mourning. It was never a chi of alpikdim, but it was a minhag they did, and 36,000 people is obviously very unusual. Divrei Yehuda. What do you mean? They did that for Achav HaRasha. That's not a big kavod. Here, it's an interesting, how do they know they did it for Achav HaRasha? Tosfos says, because in Megillah, they darshin that they made him a big funeral. Like, they darshin of something that Achav had a particularly big funeral. In the Iyun Yaakov, which is the Shlos Yaakov, or Yaakov Reicher's parish on the Iyun Yaakov, he says, no, it doesn't mean Davka for Achav they did it. He means they had a Masorah. They did this for all the Melachim in the days of Tanakh. Even Achav. Okay, so if your Tosa means they did it specifically for Achav, the Inyakov says, no, they did it for everyone, including Achav. But either way, it's not such a big covenant if they did it for Achav also, right? No one wants to say, ah, yeah, you know, when I, I had as big a funeral as Stalin. You know, it's not a big covenant. Rather, what was the covet? Elishi knew his sefer Torah on mitah, so they put a sefer Torah on his mitah. Amru kiyem zeh shegazov, and then they said, "This fellow, this nifter, is mekayim what's written in this book." Ah, the Gemara said, "In the name didn't have it. What's the big covet? We do that in the time of the Gemara. Why don't we do it nowadays? Maybe we're not in the Madrig of the Amorim, but they did that in the time of the Amorim for Gedolei Hador. So why is that a big covet for Chizkiyahu HaMelech? Afukim afkina nuchadon kina. No, we take out a sefer Torah." But we don't put it on the mita of the niftar. No, maybe taka, it's okay to put it on the mita of the niftar. Kiyam lormi, but we don't say kiyam zema shikasa bazat. That far we don't go nowadays. Therefore, Chizkiyahu had a unique kavod. Okay, now now it gets interesting. Amar Abba Rechana, Hava Zilna Bahadid Rabbi Yochanan Mishal Shmaitza. He says, I was going following Rabbi Yochanan to ask him a question in learning. He went to the bathroom. I had a question for him. Lo pashal, and he wouldn't answer my question. Ad, till obviously finished and left the bathroom. Then mashi yadu, he'd wash the tefillah shadayim after the bathroom. Manach tefillin, and put on his tefillin. Umevarich, and say the bracha. Right? Okay, it's not clear which bracha, but it sounds like Birkas Asher Yatzar. Because after he puts on tefillin, it's too late to make the bracha on tefillin. So probably Birkas Asher Yatzar. Bahadar Amalan, so he would put on his tefillin. That's the main part here. And then he would tell us. And what did he tell us once? According to our Girsa? Afilu kiyam amrinan limeid lo amrinan. No, nowadays it would be permissible even to say kiyam zemash shekasa bazeh if the guy was big enough tzaddik. But you wouldn't say limeid zemash shekasa bazeh. You wouldn't say he taught what's written in this Torah. That only for Chizkiyahu was really unique. Because Gemara says they checked from Dan to Beersheva, which is all of civilization. Okay. If you live in Yerucham, don't listen to that previous sentence. Done to approximately Beersheva, which is all of Jewish civilization, and they couldn't find one boy or girl who didn't know Seder Taurus. Okay, that's pretty impressive.
The Beretta Negev includes the whole negative.
Yeah, okay, so that's pretty impressive. So, okay, only because you always say Limeid. Fine. Now, the Gemara is Akasha. So they quote from the Gemara in Kedushin Afmem and Beis, the Chacham were sitting and arguing, what's bigger, Talmud or Maisa? And Rabbi Kiva said, or Rabbi Tarfon said Maisa, Rabbi Kiva said Talmud. Nenu Kulbi Amr, they all decided Talmud Gadol Shat Talmud maybe the Maisa. Oh, that's a stira. So the answer is, no, Lokasha Lemigmar Ha Lagmure. No, this is to learn and this is to teach. You weren't paying attention. You said there's limud and ma'isa. No, there's limud and limud, meaning there's lilmud and lilame. And there's a difference in teaching and learning. Okay, everything I've translated so far is a correct translation. But what's not clear is what exactly is the stira. and what exactly is the resolution of the stira, right? What's the stira and what's the resolution? So here we have three basic mahalchim in the Gemara, Rashi, Tosos, and the Sheoltos. What does Rashi say here? Rashi says, let's start with once when Rabbi Yochanan came out of the bathroom, this is what he told us. Rabbi Yochanan told us, it means, what was the bathroom part doing here for Rashi? It wasn't important. It was just when it happened. You know, it happened to me. He came out of the bathroom. That's when he told us that. But that the bathroom's not important for Rashi. What's important is what Rabbi Yochanan tell us? That they said Lime Bechizkiah, they don't say Lime Be everyone else because Lime is a higher Madrigal. So what do we see? Lime is better than Kiyim because they say Lime for Chizkiah, not for anyone else. It's a bigger covet say Lime than Kiyim. What's the stira? Talmud is great because it leads to Maisa. Okay, whenever I say X is very, very important because it leads to Y. What's more important? Why? Right? The matara is always more important than the emtsa'i. Right? The ends are more important than the means. If you're just trying to get to something, you're obviously trying to get to something. You only do something less important to get to something more important. So Rashi says, in Kiddushin, Maiso is more important. But in Rabbi Yochanan's statement about Chizkiyahu, we see Limud is more important. And what's the resolution? The resolution is, give me 1, 2, 3 in importance. Most important is, greatest is teaching. Second is doing. And third is learning. Okay, that's why Rashi. Where's Chaim?
Who's going to take a picture?
Leroy, do you want to take a picture? I just want a clean board now. That's how Rashi reads it. Okay, Tosos has...
Maskanas HaGemara B'Kiddusha.
What is Maskanas HaGemara B'Kiddusha? Rashi says very clearly, Maisa Adif. Maisa is better.
Right?
Maisa is better. What's the stira? What's the stira from Rabbi Yochanan? The stira from Rabbi Yochanan is... not from the bathroom part of Rabbi Yochanan, from what Rabbi Yochanan said, right? From what Rabbi Yochanan said. Excuse me, sorry.
From the Amiras from Rabbi Yochanan, that Limeid is a bigger kavod than Kiyim.
Right? That's a stira. If Maisa is on, how can Lime be a bigger cover than Maisa? Okay, so the resolution is that
Lilamed Adif mi Lasos, teaching is better than doing, and Lasos Adif mi Lilmod, and doing is better than teaching. Okay.
Doing is better than learning, of course. Meaning, why is teaching better than doing? Teaching is better than doing, so you're exactly the rabbin. But fundamentally, doing is better than learning. When it comes to Talmud versus Maisa, Rashi is on the Maisa side. Okay, Tosis, what's Tosis' problem with him? Tosis' problem with him is so pashut that, I mean, obviously Rashi knew this. Tosis says, you're not reading the Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara in Kiddushin says, Nenu kulum v'amru, Talmud gadol. How can you say the Maskanah of Kiddushin is that Maisa Gadol? It's Talmud Gadol. Right? So that's Tosfos' problem with Rashi. So let's just...
Kasha... that they said Talmud is Gadol.
How can you say Maisa is better if they said Talmud is Gadol? It's very, very nice you say Limud maybe Maisa. So, Maisa is better because it's the end goal. But they said explicitly, Talmud Gadol. So, how do you defend Rashi? Tosos and Ardaf does not defend Rashi. Tosos and Kiddushin at the end defends Rashi. And all of the other Rishonim here, like Tosos and Peretz and the Shidu Gebetzes here, and Rabbi Yishai and the Shidu Gebetzes here, and all the Achronim defend Rashi. How would you defend Rashi? Why do they say Talmud Gadol if really Maisa is better? And Talmud is just a way to get to Maisa. So how do you defend Rashi? So Tosfos and Peretz here says, when they said in Kiddushin Talmud Gadol, they didn't mean Talmud was better. Maisa is better. The Iker is Maisa. Lo medrash Iker elaha Maisa. Talmud is just a way to get to Maisa. So why do they call it Gadol? Well, let me ask you a simple question. What's more important? Saving lives or going to medical school? What's greater and more important? Saving lives or going to medical school? That shouldn't be a hard question. Saving lives. So a guy will say, all right, what do I need to bother with medical school? Let me save lives. That's more important. So what's the problem? The problem is there's a prerequisite. You have to do the prerequisite first, even though it's less important. Right? That's what all the Rishonim and Achronim say to the Ben Rashi. When they said Talmud Gadol, they didn't mean Talmud was greater. They just meant that if you have to decide what to do first and you haven't yet learned, if you're starting from scratch, you have to learn first. Because if you don't learn, how are you going to be able to do any masim? Once you're ready, a Talmud Chacham, then Mais is greater. But you have to learn first because, again, you're not going to be able to save any lives if you don't go to medical school first. So even though going to medical school is merely a means to get to your end, and it's not really important in and of itself, but you have to do it first or else you'll be messed up. So if you never learn anything, how are you going to do any masim? So that's what they all answer for Rashi. That when they say Talmud Gadol, Hakavana Shamrak, Sheyilmod, Bibachruso, Kodem Shiyaseh. When you're a kid, you should learn first before you go out there and try to do as many mitzvahs as possible, because you have to learn in order to do the mitzvahs. That's what it is. For a kid, you should start with learning first. You know, when the kid's bar mitzvahed, you shouldn't say, go out and join the ambulance squad and the Milos Chesed Society and spend all day, and the mitzvah tank and etc. Spend all day doing mitzvahs. Now you should send yeshiva to learn first so he'll know how to do mitzvahs. Okay, but that was just a pragmatic gadol. That's what they're saying. That was a pragmatic gadol. It didn't really mean that Talmud is greater. Really, Maisa is greater. It's just practically you have to start with Talmud, because otherwise you're going to be in trouble. I'll just read it to you, this defense from Tosus and Kiddushin, for example. Give me a second. Good question. If you haven't learned yet, you should learn first. Because we don't know anything, how can you do Maisim? Once you've already learned, then Maisim is greater. How did they understand the question? Because after all, maybe, it's a good question. Like, was the question, what should someone do who hasn't learned anything yet? Should they start with Maisim or Limud? And really, Rabbi Tarfon said they should go to do a Maisim without learning anything first? It's an excellent question. Maybe you could say, would Rabbi Tarfon really have thought you should not start by learning at all? You should just go do masim and learn on the job? I don't know. You're right, it's a good kasha on Rashi. Meaning, if all Talmud Gadol means is that you should learn first when you're starting out, then how can anyone disagree with that? It's a good question. I'm not sure, unless you say the meaning of the words changed in the middle of the discussion, which is dachuk, right?
Or you can do what the day says.
Yeah, but that's not Rashi. Yeah, I know you can take a different approach.
There's two levels of limud here. There's the limud, the practical thing. Just how do I do it? What do I little do? But you're really not getting into the depth of it. You can teach someone, you bring someone back for Shabbos, so they know they're coming, they simply kiddush in this. They don't understand the totality of it. So the real limud is the totality, but it's a practical thing. You have to have that little bit beforehand.
Right. Okay, so that's Rashi. Rashi says the little dachuk, as he pointed out, in the lashon of Gadol Talmud, because it's not really Gadol Talmud, it's just a good practical starting point. But he really thinks Maisa is greater. Rabbi Tam disagrees. Says Rabbi Tam, no, that's not pshat at all.
it's clear that the Talmud is adif. But that's not the part that has the stira. That's not the part that is the stira. This stira was not really about adifus for a Rabbeinu Tam. Right? I hope I'm saying Rabbeinu Tam well. If you got a chance, you look at the Marsha in Kedushin. He's medactic very much in trying to maybe make it a little more sophisticated. I can say it in a simple sense. Talmud is adif. That's very clear. But that's not the stira. Talmud is adif. Well, we have no stira to Talmud being adif. That makes perfect sense. Talmud is adif, and therefore for Chizkiyah we said limud, and for everyone else we don't. Rather, what's the stira? The stira is that b'mtzius efshar. Put this in parentheses because not the main point. Efshar lasos ella in kain lomad far. Right? Ha Talmud maybe the maisa. You can't have someone who did without learning. Because if you didn't learn, how could you do? Right? And what's the stira? The stira is from the Amiras Rabbi Yochanan. What did Rabbi Yochanan say? That we say kiyim for other people, but not limid. What does that mean? That Lishar Anashim Omrim Kiyim Velo Limeid. And again, we're not at this point, we haven't really noticed that Limeid is not Lamad. Kilomar De Efshar Shekiyim Velo Lamad. It's not a stira in values, it's a stira in Metzios. Since we said then no one can really do if they haven't learned first. So whoever did automatically learned. But for Chizkiyahu we said learned. For other people we say didn't, and we don't say learned, which implied they did without learning. How can they even see us? How can you say for other people kiyem, but we don't say limud? What do you mean? If he was kiyem, he was automatically lamad. How can he be kiyem and not lamad? Right? So it doesn't make sense. For Chizkiyahu says he did it and he learned. For other people we only say he did it. Obviously, he learned if he did it. How could he have done it if he didn't learn? That's the kasha. It's a kasha mitzius. And what's the answer? And then the answer is no, you misunderstood. Obviously, whoever was kiyam was lamad. Obviously, ef shar lasos in lo lamad kfar, which means that kol misha kiyam lamad. So what's special at Chizkiyah that in addition to Kiyum you say limeid? Right? But Aval Shekiyem Velo limeid V'lachein Asu Kavo L'Chizkiyahu Ve'amru Limeid. Right, Ligmigmar, Halagmuri. Yeah, Ligmigmar, there's no point saying he learned. If he did, of course he learned. It goes without saying that he learned. That's no Chiddush. What's the covenant of Chizkiyah? That he taught. Not everyone who did taught. Just because you did doesn't mean you're taught. That's the covenant of Chizkiyah. That's what he says. Whoever's Kiyem automatically learns. If he didn't learn, how would he have done it? So Limeid Limeid Maisa. And then the answer is no. It's the adifus of Chizkiyah is not that he learned. Everyone who had been Mekayim learned. Otherwise, he could have been Mekayim. The adifus of Chizkiyah is that he taught other people. And then we have the Shiltos. The Shiltos has a different girsa, right? What does the Shiltos leave out? He leaves out Rabbi Yochanan's statement. He does not have Rabbi Yochanan making a statement. He does not have Rabbi Yochanan making a statement. What does the Shilto say? He doesn't have Rabbi Yochanan's statement. What happened? He was just talking about the minhag of Rabbi Yochanan. Whenever we had a kasha for him, when he went to the bathroom, he would come out of the bathroom, and you see, Rabbi Yochanan's a busy fellow, right? People were waiting online for him when he was in the bathroom. So he came out of the bathroom. They immediately surrounded him with shaylas. He said, no, first let me put on tefillin, then I'll answer your shayla. What does that mean? If he first put on tefillin, that shows that he thinks that Maisa is greater. Maisa is greater. He put on tefillin first. Ah, but here he uses the meaning of Tom. He thinks Pshat HaDigmar. Pshat HaDigmar, none of this fancy Rashi stuff. Pshat HaDigmar can do so that learning is greater. If learning is greater, then what about the Maisa of Rabbi Yochanan? That Lavash Tefillin. The achar kach heshiv l'sheilos klomar maisa adif. Right? If you put on tefillin first, that proves maisa's adif. So it's a stira, the opposite of Rashi. Rabbi Yochanan said maisa adif, but the Gemara Kedusha says talmud adif, and it has nothing to do with chizki anymore. For the shotos, if it has nothing to do with chizki, what's it doing here? No. Because in Chizkiyah we mentioned the relationship between Liman and Kiyam, as a tangent, we bring in this sugya that has to do with the relationship between Liman and Kiyam. Before I, what's the answer? The answer is very poshut. The answer is, Lil, the diametrical opposite of Rashi, Lil mode is adif milasos. But lasos is adif milalame. Yes, Talmud Gadol, learning is better than doing. But doing is better than teaching others. Here, it seems to be a big chiddush, right? It seems to be a big chiddush. The Bagdur would not be happy with this shultos. What he's saying is ultimately that your avoda has to come first over helping anyone else. First, you have to worry about your learning. Then you have to worry about your doing. And only after that, worry about spreading Torah to everyone else. That's the shiltos.
When you're teaching, it's the people aren't necessarily absorbing or accepting or whatever.
Uh-huh. Spoken as a experienced Mr. Achinuch teacher. Yes, it's interesting. Although Rabbi Yochanan Salmidim, I think, were Shosim Mitzames Debrahim. Here it's a big chiddush, and especially according to the other pshat that are similar to Shultos, where clearly we're talking about values here, but apparently he thinks, I mean, this is a fascinating question. What's the nature of Avodas Hashem? Obviously, you're supposed to worry about yourself and worry about all the rest of the Jewish people, right? But what's priority? Is it better to worry about the whole Jewish people and that's more important than worrying about yourself? Or no, you have to worry about yourself and then worry about everyone else. Maybe everyone has to take care of themselves. Maybe not mealy mealy. I come before many lots be body. Okay, that's tremendous kiddush of the shultos.
Why can't you answer simply? It's not the mitzvah of putting on tefillin. It's the mitzvah of wearing tefillin every minute. It's the mitzvah over. The mitzvah over would come before Talmud Torah.
That's a kasha in the Gemara according to shultos. So why didn't they say there's a difference in mitzvah overis and shein overis? Okay, you made an assumption about tefillin. What's called the mitzvah overis? If I could do it for 600 minutes, or 601 minutes. Is that 1 minute called a mitzvah overis? Or do you say, no, I still have another 600 minutes? You know, that's an assumption you're making. So I'm not sure. It's a good question, certainly. I just want to point out, though, that there's a slightly different version of this shultos. Because, not of the shultos. The shultos is the shultos. But if you look in the Ritva and Kedushin, for example, or the Yad Verma in the Mukha Yosef, the Ramah and the Mukha Yosef here, and the footnote points out, I think, correctly, it seems to be the Pshat of Rabbeinu Chananel here. Rabbeinu Chananel on Daf is clearly Shultos-like. Right? How do we know? Uparkinan, he says, what's the answer? Lokashia. L'migmar hu Talmud Gadol. Sha Talmud maybe lo de Maisa. Like, Mure hu lachrini Maisa Gadol. Learning is bigger than Maisa. But Maisa is bigger than teaching others. That's clearly the Shultos. But yet, he has the girsa of Rabbi Yochanan ki amrinan limid lo amrinan. He still has the girsa of ki amrinan limid lo amrinan. So he doesn't have the gears of the Shultos, even though he's a pshat of the Shultos. So this, let's just say, the Rach, the Ramah, also has this in the back of the Yosef and the Ritva Kedushin, and many others. I'm just mentioning, I guess the Rach is on the page and whoever's on the Makor sheet. They have almost the same as the Shultos. They just add one thing. They just add Maisa Ve Amira. And if you want to know which girsa, right, let's just say the two girsas. Girsa A is that
Rabbi Yochanan said, Kiyeng Arinan Bechuli, Girsa B, Rabbi Yochanan didn't say anything. Meaning he answered your questions, but it doesn't have him answering anything. So this was Girsa A. You can have our printed Girsa and still say the Sheltos, but you have to change what Rabbi Yochanan meant. What did Rabbi Yochanan mean? He was lavash tefillin ba'achar kach heishev l'shevos, which means that ma'isa adif. And he defended that by saying something. Now, what's the difference between what he said? Here is, let's call this A1, A2. Those aren't different yourselves, those are different perushim. What's the difference? Not two gersos. Is perushim legersa. I don't mean perushim like longish understanding. I just mean shot in the words. A1 is la'acherim omrim kiyem v'lo limit. Lechizkiyahu amru limit. That's what Rashi and Tosfos, how they read the Gemara. Limate is greater. And therefore, that they said limate special for Chizkiyah. So for Rashi, that proves limate is greater, which is the stira. For Tosfos, that proves that if you're Mekayim, it's not obvious you were lamad, which is the stira. For the Girsa of the Ritvin Kedushin and the Adramah and the Rach, I mean, the Rach doesn't explain, but it's clear this is what he has to say, because he has our Girsa, and yet he says, like, the Shiltos. Says no, here's what L'chizkiyahu amru kiyem v'lo limeid. Notice they're not talking about what you say for other people. They're talking about L'chizkiyahu. It's the opposite. Why? Amru kiyem v'lo limeid. Not that for others you say kiyem for L'chizkiyahu. For L'chizkiyahu they said kiyem and not limeid. After all, what's Rabbi Yochanan saying? He's just saying what the sentence before him. V'yibay saying the nuchinam achina kiyem lo amru. Or sorry, kiyem lazev hashikasu bazeh. Right? So Rabbi Yochanan saying, remember what we said above? For Chizkiyahu, he's not saying a third alternative. For Rashi and Tosfos, saying an alternative. One pshat was, other people we bring out, we're not meniach. Him, we're meniach. Second pshat is, other people we're meniach, we don't say kiyam. Him, we say kiyam. Maybe other than a third pshat, other people we say kiyam. But for him, we said limate. No, he's not giving a third pshat. He's just going back to what he said. Don't you remember they said limate for kiyam for Chizkiyahu, not limate? What does that prove? And also, Amru Lechizkiya Kiyeng V'lo Limeid, which proves that Mai says Adif. Wouldn't they have said the best thing he did? We all knew he learned and did, and was Mekayim. Why do they say Mekayim? That shows Mekayim is a greater Shevach than Limeid. Okay, so then it ends the same. Instead of having one proof from Rabbi Yochanan that Mai says Adif, it's a double proof for Yochanan, Ma'aseh was Adif. Yochanan put on his tefillin first, Ma'aseh is Adif. And then in explaining why he thought Ma'aseh was Adif, he says, because we have Masorah, they said Kiyim for Chizkiyahu. They didn't say Limit for Chizkiyahu, which proves that Ma'aseh is Adif. And then it says Stira. And Kedusha says Talmud is Adif. Rabbi Yochanan said and proved that Ma'aseh is Adif. And the answer is Ma'aseh is Adif from teaching others. But learning yourself is Adif from Ma'aseh. Okay. That is the three ways, or three and a half ways, however you count it, right, to read our Gemara. I'm not aware of other pshatim. Yeah, maybe there's something someplace, but not that I'm aware of in the mainstream mefarshim. Now, I just want to point out that, now that we learned our Gemara, I want to go a little deeper. What really is Adif? Is Talmud Adif, or is Maisa Adif? So that seems to be machlokas. Rashi says the real upshot of Kiddushin is that Talmud is gadol in some technical sense of practical, a guy starting out, a bar mitzvah boy, or starting out in Judaism, but really Maisa is greater. Rainer Tam says, and the Shiltos Udime, no, really Limud is greater. So what's really greater? Is Maisa greater, or is Limud greater? That might depend on going back to Rashi. What was Rashi's proof? It must be that Maisa is greater.
Because limud is only important because it's maybe lidei maisa. So that's a big question. Is Rashi right or is Rashi wrong? What is the ha'em Talmud Gadol rak mishum shemevi lidei maisa? Musa. Is Talmud only Gadol because maybe the Maisa? Or is Talmud important in and of itself? So the Pshat of the Gemara is like Rashi, right? Here we have Rashi Alpi. Why is Talmud important? It's maybe li day Maisa. But Maisa is really important. Talmud is just important because it's maybe li day Maisa. And a number of Rishonim hold. Why is, meaning they admit Talmud is Gadol. Practically, it's really important to do a lot of learning when you're young because you have to be maybe li day Maisa. Again, just like medical school is really important if you want to save lives. But again, it's only important because it's instrumental to saving lives. There is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is in order that...
No, it's a machshim. No, he's making it to a machshim. He's not making it to it. That's the way it seems to me.
Let's say there's a mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash according to the Rambam. The Rambam says the mitzvah of building the Mikdash so you can bring karbonos and do a Yule Rego there. So maybe sometimes there's a mitzvah to do something so that you can then do other things. Maybe. Now again, the Ramban, I know, has a different sheet than building the mitzvah. Ramban says there's a mitzvah of building the Mishkan, so the Shekhinah will rest there. That's not in order to do something else. But the Ramban doesn't say that. And there's... Okay, we're not
going to do this. Sukkah, I mean...
Okay, by sukkah, it's not to do another mitzvah, right? It's not... Well, building a sukkah, that's not a mitzvah, but that's not one of the tariag.
No,
but,
it's a mashiach.
Correct. So it's like, yeah... There could be tariag mitzvos that are there in order to do something else. You know, why? For example, the Rush says, why is it a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah? So you can learn it.
How would Rashi understand Talmud Torah Kenei Kulam?
How would Rashi understand Talmud Torah Kenei Kulam? Maybe he would say, yeah, Talmud Torah Kenei Kulam, because it'll lead to all of them. Yeah, Talmud Torah Kenei Kulam, are you kidding? Talmud Torah is the best, it's gadol, because if you do Talmud Torah, you'll end up doing all the mitzvos. If you do one mitzvah, you'll only end up doing that mitzvah. But if you do Talmud Torah, it'll lead you to do all the mitzvahs. Meaning, it's not that Rashi doesn't think Talmud Torah is super-duper practically important. God with Talmud. It's just super-duper practically important because it'll lead you to do all the mitzvahs. And we see this formulation with Furish in a number of Rishonim. I know it's not a yeshivish formulation nowadays, but I didn't say I'm giving shir on yeshivish hashkafa nowadays. I'm giving shir on shas. And we have to figure out what's the... what's the emes? And the emes is a big machlokas. The Tosos Rosh Hashanah, for example, says very explicitly, he says, I'll read you the language. Kaven sha'alomed eino elo v'tzorach kiyom ha-mitzvos. Learning is only for the sake of doing mitzvos. That seems very explicit to me. Why does he say that? He says learning is only for the sake of doing mitzvos because he's trying to explain why you need to be mechadesh, that you don't, the Gemara Mekutin says, if there's a mitzvah someone else could do, don't stop your learning to do that mitzvah. Let someone else do it. So yes, what's the chiddush? Osik mitzvah part of a mitzvah. You should never stop one mitzvah to do another. The chiddush says, no, obviously you shouldn't stop one mitzvah to do another. But you might have thought you should always stop learning to do a mitzvah, because learning is only a hechsher to do mitzvahs. So Gemash wants, sometimes you should keep learning and not do mitzvahs. But clearly, what's he saying? He tells us Rosh Hashanah Mekutin. It's only, says very clearly, what's his lashon? His lashon is, lo mi eino elo l'tzorach kiyom ha-mitzvos. That's much clearer than Rashi, right? Rashi doesn't say it quite so clearly. Lo mi eino elo l'tzorach kiyom ha-mitzvos. And the Me'iri in Moed Katan says the same thing. I gave you the Me'iri here. But I think the Me'iri Mo'akutin is even clearer. If I have a copy of it, which I might not. Okay, if not, you'll have to forgive me.
Well, I have a you read my cotton?
Yeah. So I mean, not that you have. Says that, or maybe you do. I put a bracket, so it might be on Morty's. Says the Me'iri, ready? He says he's worried about the same problem. A technically different question than the same question. Oh, say mitzvah, part of a mitzvah. Why would you stop learning to do any mitzvah? So he answers, Ho'el v'ikara l'idias kiyom shar mitzvos, mevat l'nusam shel kach. Yeah, you stop learning to do a mitzvah that no one else can do. You don't stop keeping up a mar shabbos abeidah to do a mitzvah no one else can do. You know why you stop learning? Because learning is just in order to do mitzvahs. So of course you stop learning to do mitzvahs. I'll read again. Ikara l'idias kiyom shar mitzvos. Says the Me'iri in Moikotin. Ikara l'idias kiyom shar mitzvos. Okay. Very clear that it's really more of a hechsher. The Rav Sadegon has a piece, a very non-yeshivish piece here, where he says that it's very important to be in the world doing things. Why is it very important to be in the world doing things? He says, well, I forget his exact examples. I'm trying to remember. He says, if you don't have business, then how are you in the midst of honest weights and measures? If you don't have agriculture, how are you going to be kind in the mitzvahs of Klein and Trumas and Maestros and Lekashech and Pei, etc.? I'm pretty sure those were his examples. We can make our own examples, you know, as much as we want, etc. And he says, and if you'll say, oh, well, I'll sit and learn and I'll paskin for other people when they want to know the halachas of business or agriculture, etc. So Rav Sadegon says, I mean, that sounds like very Jewish to me. Rav Sadegon says, no, but then they'll be the ones doing avoda, not you. Don't you want to be the one doing the avoda? Meaning you'll be the supporting role. They'll be doing the avoda. So he sounds very clear. Like, if you're learning, that's the supporting role. That's the hechsher. But the avoda is to actually do the mitzvos. So Rav Sadegon also sounds that way in the Sefer Emunos Videos. Also sounds that way. He says the ikar avoda is the doing. The learning is it's gadol again, Ellie. Everyone agrees you should learn a lot of Torah. And everyone agrees you should get kids to yeshiva and have them learn for many years. That's Gadol Talmud. But for these Rishonim, why? That's a practical point. Because really we want them to do mitzvahs their whole life. But they need to learn first when they're young in order to do mitzvahs, and when they're old, keep learning also. In order to do mitzvahs their whole life, right? If you don't learn Shabbos, Shabbos, go chasa, how are you going to keep Shabbos? Okay. That's one approach. And it's certainly a founded approach. Gadol Talmud, why? Shat Talmud, maybe they might say. However, there's another approach as well. The Yeshivish approach is really, I think, epitomized by the famous drasha of the Beis Halevi on Nasa V'Nishma. The Beis Halevi says, what's the big Shevach of Nasa V'Nishma? Now, I know there are other answers to this, which are also equally true and deep and interesting, just not our topic right now. Beis Halevi, the famous drash, he says, what's the big Shevach of Nasa V'Nishma? The big Shevach of Nasa V'Nishma, he says, is we'll do and then we'll learn. If you only learn Torah, Nasa to do, and Nishma meaning to learn. Okay, most of the Pshatim assume Nasa means do and Nishma means learn. So what's the chap? And he says, why did the angels come, the Malachim come and give them two crowns? What's the lashon of the Medrash? They said Nasa V'Nishma. Shehikdimu Nasa V'Nishma. What was so great? If they had said Nishma V'Nasa, they would have passed. Right? They would have passed, but they wouldn't have gotten Avar B'Hitztainut. Right? They wouldn't have gotten special crowns to the Malachim. But they had Nasa V'Nishma. What's so great about Nasa? What's so amazing about Nasa V'Nishma, says the Beis Halevi. This is exactly the Chakira. Is Talmud Torah hechsher just in order to do the other mitzvos? Only because it's maybe the Maisa, or is it Ba'atzmu so important? So he says, well, here's the Nafkamina. If it's only a hechsher to do the other mitzvos, of course, either way, you have to do it your whole life because you always have to do mitzvos. But at least theoretically, how would you express it? If it's a hechsher to do mitzvos, you nishma v'nasa, we'll learn, and then we'll do the mitzvos. You only have to learn before you do mitzvos. No point in learning after you do mitzvos, right? No one thinks the mitzvah to build a sukkah after sukkahs. No one thinks the mitzvah to make matzahs after Pesach, right? If you're only preparing for something else, then you only do it beforehand. Doing it afterwards would be a waste of time. It says, Lu Yitzur is only a hechsher mitzvah, they would have said Nishma V'Nasa. Obviously, they would have learned their whole life because they could keep doing that, but they would have expressed it as Nishma V'Nasa. What do they mean by Nasa V'Nishma? Even if we're finished doing, we still want to learn. Why? Because learning is ba'atzmu so important, independent. He doesn't buy it, also helps you do mitzvahs.
That's obvious. You don't need a Gemara for that. But independent, besides also doing mitzvahs, it's independently. There's independent value in learning, even besides helping you do mitzvahs. That's the Nasa. And when we finish Nasa, we'll still nishma for the independent value of learning. And for the Beis Halevi, you understand, this is the Brisker Masorah. For the Beis Halevi, this was a yesod in his philosophy. He even goes so far as to say, he says very nicely, the although this is against what his grandson will write about Birkas HaTorah, but the Taz says that the Mechaber, you know, the Mechaber says, like Rav Avadya Paskin is the start, nowadays, women can't make brachos on mitzvahs they're patur from. Everyone knows women are patur from Talmud Torah. So, says the Mechaber, women say Birkas HaTorah. And everyone asks, why? The Ramah said it would be no big deal. For the Ramah, women could also make a brach on sukkah and also make a brach on shofar and make a brach on everything they're patur from. But for the Mechaber, why do we make Birkas HaTorah? So, okay, there's another answer. That's in the later Salvechiks. But the Taz says, because women are also chayim Talmud Torah. They have to learn halacha l'maisa of all the mitzvahs they have to keep. You know, which is not a small, I don't know what it was like once upon a time, but not a small task nowadays. You know, just learning halacha Shabbos takes you a long time. And halacha brachos, I don't know, maybe once upon a time it was quicker. Now it seems like women have to learn a lot, according to that Taz. Okay, so, basically let me just ask, so what does it mean women are patur from Talmud Torah? If they have to learn all of the halacha l'maisa. So says the, now you could have answered otherwise, says the Beis Halevi, no, that's exactly the point. Women are chayav in the Hechsher mitzvah to learn almanas lasos, right? To learn the major l'dei maisa. That women are chayav in. But that's not the real mitzvah of Talmud Torah, that's just the secondary aspect. They're part of the real Talmud Torah, which is learning just for the sake of learning, theoretical learning, having nothing to do with maisa. He says, yeah, that's what it means. Women are chayav in the Tosfos Rosh's version of Talmud Torah, but that's called being pater from Talmud Torah, because they're not chayav in the real mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The Iker mitzvah of Talmud Torah is not as a hechsher for the mitzvahs, but as an independent value. And he goes so far as to say, a little harshly, there's a funny Gemara in Darim that says, why did the Churban happen? How shall Berach of the Torah tchila? It didn't say Berach of the Torah. So I want to ask you, why is it such a big figure to not say Berach of the Torah? So there are other answers, but the Beis Halevi says, no, this has to do with my vort. When do you say a bracha, when don't you? Do we say a bracha when we build a sukkah? Shekhar Shem Tzotzah Zivano Lasso Sukkah? No. Do we say a bracha when we bake matzos? Shekhar Shem Tzotzah Zivano Lefos Matzos? No. Oh, but you have to do it. Well, so the Gemara Menachah says, Kol Shasi Yasi Gemara Mitzvasa Mavarchan Aleh. Right? Now, if something is the matarah, is independently a goal, an end in and of itself, you say a bracha on it. Something just a hechsher mitzvah, means to an end, you don't say a bracha. Building a sukkah is a hechsher mitzvah to sending the sukkah, we don't say a bracha. Baking matzah is a hechsher mitzvah to eating matzah, so we don't say a bracha. Says Beis Halevi, you know what the mistake of all those people who are referred to by this pasuk in Yirmiyah who caused churban, you know what mistake causes churban? Okay, he wouldn't have said it flippantly. He wouldn't have said, because they held like the Tosfos Rosh and the Eri and wake up. But he would have said, yeah, because they made that mistake. You know why? It's not that they didn't make a bracha because the Torah, because they weren't so from. They thought learning Torah was a hechsher mitzvah for doing the other mitzvahs. I said, gee, you don't make a bracha on a hechsher mitzvah. They thought that it was only lilmon almanas lasos. It was only, well, no, the Rav points out, everyone knows almanas lasos. You have to be committed to doing it. No one thinks you could learn if you're not going to do it. But because then you're not committed to the system, then you're not an Ovid Hashem Bechlal. But they thought it was only important to learn to know what to do. Right? They thought learning was only a preparatory stage to doing. So they didn't make a bracha because it's only Hechsher Mitzvah. You don't make a bracha in Hechsher Mitzvah. And that they deserved the Churban for because they lost the whole point of Talmud Torah. They lost the Nasav and Nishma. The Churban came for thinking the other side of the Chakira about the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That's Yeshivish. The Churban came because you thought the other side of the Chakir about Talmud Torah because you didn't realize that it was Be'atzmus so important. Just the learning is important, regardless of whether or not it's maybe L'dei Maisa. So this is the famous Beis Halevi, a really beautiful drush. She puts things together amazingly. Okay, the Kasha is.
Does he prefer one of the two sides of Limud Torah? Does he?
Yeah, he thinks the Shevach is for the Atzmusa. That's what you get the crown for, right? That's what you get the crown for. Really? It's actually you need two, and if you have only one, you're lacking something. I think it's clear that one of them is the crown. Although, I admit, I'm sort of reading that in. Fair enough.
It's really much more radical. The example of women is
not.
Yeah, because women are part of the Talmud, and they're still chayiv in the other aspect, right?
I learned Shmir Shabbos Kiddush, so there's no king of Talmud Torah. It's not just women.
Right.
The only king of Talmud Torah is Lilmot, and not the Lassos of the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah.
That's what it sounds like, correct.
You can understand it. The problem with the Churban is the people, there's another shot that the people lost the importance of Torah. That's an individual thing. But over here, they find their rebbein. They had a Rebbe. One Rebbe said this, one Rebbe said that. They went along with the Rebbe. What's the problem?
What's the problem in the time of the Churban?
Yeah. I mean, they were Talmidim. They went with their Rebbe. If a Rebbe tells you something, then and you're his Talmid, you follow it.
Who went with their Rebbe?
Whoever taught them the Tevet.
No one would have ever taught them that. They basically would say, you think in the time of Chazal and the Tanakh, anyone thought this mistaken view? No one would have thought that mistaken view. Only recently people have been miscalculated so much. That's what he would say.
It's obviously that it's
okay, I hear it, Tina. You're saying if Rishonim say it, how could you say the Churban comes for it? The basically would say, no. You know, the truth is, maybe you would say the Rishonim never say it, and maybe you'd have a different shot of these Rishonim and say they don't mean what it seems like they mean. Rav Chaim had a way, when he was sure something was true, no matter what any Rishon said, he would say they didn't mean anything but what was true. So who knows? It's a good question. Maybe Beis HaLevi would have a different shot in these Rishonim. Anyway, here it's a little funny, though. Like, who's the Beis HaLevi, right? Who's the Beis HaLevi to come after he has Rishonim against him? Like, did he just invent this in the, 20th century? So, really, I think there are serious makoros for this approach. Number one, I think what's interesting is this is not a proof, but the formulation of the Rambam, I think, is fascinating. In the fifth Sefer, fifth Mitzvah Aseh in the Sefer Mitzvos, is the famous sheet of the Rambam that davening is Mitzvah Aseh Midoraisa, even though it doesn't say thou shalt pray. Anywhere in the Chumash, he says, L'avdo means davening. Okay, but he says a lot of other interesting things here, right? What else does he say? He says, Lashon Sifri, L'avdo Zot Tfilah, V'Ram Gamkin, L'avdo Zot Talmud. Okay, they also said in the Sifri, L'avdo Zot Talmud. The mitzvah of Avoda is to learn. And then he also quotes from the Midos of Rilosbos or Glili. He says, "Avduhu b'torasso, v'avduhu b'mikdasho." Avduhu b'mikdasho means davening. Avduhu b'torasso. So the Rambam does seem to have this idea of avoda, that learning is avoda. How are you oved Hashem? Through davening and through learning. And it's, he didn't invent this. He obviously was afraid. Now, it doesn't prove anything. But if it says, this is a kiyum v'avoda, it sounds like this is not like the hechsher. Not because the davening is just to help you do the other mitzvos. It sounds like, no, this is an avoda in and of itself. Just like avodas harbanos is an avoda in and of itself, and avodas hatfilah is an avoda in and of itself. It certainly sounds like it's an independent avoda, not just to know what to do. Okay, but that's a diuk. So that's the mashmaus of the midrashe chazal, Shedorshu Avoda equals Talmud. Okay, but it's not mefurish. They're not actually discussing, is this only to do something else or is this independently important? Although it sounds that way. I think the best mucker is the Yerushalmi. You want to know the real mucker? The real mucker is the Yerushalmi. Says the Yerushalmi in Peah, very explicitly, this is so mefurish, there's really no two ways about. Where it has the Talmud Torah connected to Kulam, right? An appropriate place for this. One of them said, even all the things in the world are not worth one word of Torah. And the other one said, even all the mitzvahs are not worth one word of Torah. If all the mitzvahs together are not worth one word of Torah, clearly Torah is not just there to help you do mitzvahs. Then all the mitzvahs together would be worth many words of Torah. And then likewise we have Rabbi Tanchuma, Rabbi Yosef Zimmer, Chadim, Rechad, 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 the same machlokes. Rabbi Abba Avoy, the father of Rabbi Abba Bar Mori, B'shem, Rabbi Acha, Kosev, Echad, Rechol, Chafatsim, Yishvav, Chafatsim, Echad, Rechol, Chafat Sechol, Yishvav, Chafatsim, Yishvav, Tovim, Rechol, Yos, all the riches are not worth the Torah. Chafat Sechol, the different Torah, Yosef, Kivela, Chafatsim, and then Moshe explains, what does it mean the different Torah are not worth the Torah?
So I think it's Pashup Shah, but I wrote in Pemoshi, it's a little hard to understand. Asiyus ha-mitzvah shemi divrei Torah, shem chafatzav shel adam ve'imo ba'atzmo filo ha'kul yishba le-talmud Torah. Okay, so what do we see here? We see here that the, at least one day in the Yerushalmi, the other day in the Yerushalmi doesn't necessarily disagree. The other day it just says, one word of Torah is not worth more than all the mitzvahs put together. He still could think it's worth more than one mitzvah, right? The whole Torah. You know, but clearly on the day in the Yerushalmi, the, all the mitzvahs in the world are not worth a word of Torah. Or, in the end, Rav Acha, Chafatzefe, Elu Devei Torah. All the mitzvahs are not worth Torah. So clearly, of at least one day in the Yerushalmi, one day in the Yerushalmi says all the mitzvahs are not worth a word of Torah. Clearly, Torah is independently valuable. Clearly, it's gadol independently in and of itself. Because all the mitzvahs are not worth a word of Torah. And that's only one word of Torah, you know? One word of Torah is not going to lead you to do anything. You need many words to figure out the halachas. And even the other day in the Yerushalmi could say, well, all the mitzvahs are worth a word of Torah. But still, Torah is independently valuable. So, I think the real mukkar is the Yerushalmi and Peah. Here we have a mukkar that goes before any of the Yerushalmi. Before Shmukkar and Chazal, if all the mitzvahs in the world, or all the mitzvahs in the Torah, are not worth a word of Torah, clearly Torah is independently important and not just because it helps you do mitzvahs. Now, we just have a question. The question is, what about the lashon that Rashi brought? Doesn't it say, Talmud Gadol shall Talmud maybe the day Maisa? If Talmud Gadol says Talmud maybe the day Maisa, doesn't it sound like learning is only important since maybe the day Maisa? So here, you could say, what do you do with the lashon of the Gemara in Kiddushin? Sheha Talmud, maybe Lidei Maisa. If you take one approach, then you say very simply, right? The Pshat. Talmud is important because it's maybe Lidei Maisa. And that would be what Rashi seems to take out of the Or Kedushin, that's the Meiri and the Tos Rashi Bava Kama. The Iker Limud is just to do the mitzvahs. However, what if you say, no, all the mitzvahs are not worth one word of Torah, like the Bisa Levi. The Iker Limud, even women who are putter from Talmud Torah are chayiv in knowing how to do the mitzvahs. The real mitzvah of Talmud Torah is just to learn as an independent value. So why does the Gemara say, Shem Limud maybe the Maisa? So you could say one of two things. Either you could say like the Ritva there. What does the Ritva say there? Says the Ritva there, very, very simple, this part of the Ritva. He says, Nenere kibir amur gavu talmud shatal meivli maisa, heirish, shatalmud shteyem bo, shu ba'atmo maisa shu mitzvah, and meivli de maisa. Ah, that's what they meant. They meant that there's double value to Talmud. It in and of itself is important. And it's maybe the Maisa. Gadol Talmud, digam maybe the Maisa. What is he saying? If I do Gemilas Chassadim, I've only done Gemilas Chassadim. If I do Talmud, I've done Talmud, which is important in and of itself. And I've also been maybe the Maisa. So what does the Ritva say? Nah, Gadol Talmud, dehavi erech, a value, bifnei atzmo, vigam maybe the Maisa. No, it's independently worthwhile, and it's also maybe the Maisa.
Maybe that's, isn't that the Rashi?
You're saying Rashi. Kiddush. Yeah, Rashi and Kiddush also sounds like that. Nintzu
Shnei Hamiyado.
Not that Rashi necessarily would. you're right. Rashi actually says something that sounds very similar to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very similar words to that. Let me just check out the last year's lashon here. Names are Shnei Yado. And the Ritva is a little more explicit. He says, Shatamud Shteyim Bo Shuba Atzmo Maisa Shu Mitzvah. It itself is a mitzvah, and it's also made in the Maisa. But you're right, Rashi. Now, just because you say this, I guess what Rashi doesn't say is that. What Rashi doesn't say is that it is in and of itself a mitzvah, although he does sort of imply that, which means that where even Rashi says, Maisa is greater, is saying maybe there's some
here we get quantitative. Maybe you could say even if the ikker is the maid of the emaiser, there's some value to the lima in and of itself, just not the main value. Fair enough.
Is it possible that that's Rashi just explaining the Gemara in Kiddushin and that's not his shita?
No, or it's Rashi saying that if Talmud is maybe the day Maisa, I guess maybe, but if you want to say Rashi uses not the same Baba Kama, but I'm going to have to admit to something a little more subtle. It could be that even if you take the tzad that ikrali is Kim Shar Mitzvahs, there might be some small advantage to the knowledge in and of itself. Some small advantage of the knowledge in and of itself.
Would the Rishna have a problem with Ben Sohira on my word, for example? Would not
maybe. What about Drosh for Kabbal Schar? That's a good raya. How can there be Drosh for Kabbal Schar if it's only, to know what to do? Or maybe the Rishna would just say that's not as gadol. Maybe that's just gadol. But the more interesting one is the Maharal and the Shla. Says the Maharal and the Shla, they say a wild different shot at this. We always thought that if you say gadol X because X brings to Y, we're really saying Y is greater. Because you do lesser things to get to greater things. But there's another way to look at this. Right? What's the other way to look at this? God created the world. What's greater? God or the world?
God.
God, because he can create the world, but the world can't create him. Right? That sounds reasonable, right? Human beings can make trains. What's greater? People or trains? People are obviously greater because people can make trains. Trains can't make people, right? Meaning, not if we're looking at your process, but we're looking at the power of something. If something has the power to make something else, then it's clearly greater because it has the power to make that other thing. Now, you can take the same thing, you can look at it in two ways, right? If I say, well, Lima brings to Maisa, say, oh, we see Lima's not so great, it's just a stepping stone to Maisa. Or you could say, no, are you kidding? If Lima creates Maisa, but Maisa doesn't create Lima, then that shows that Lima must be an amazing thing. It melts how great Lima is. It doesn't mean Lima is great because it helps you do Maisa. The igloi milsa of how great limud is that it can even create maisa, but maisa can't create limud, so limud must be greater. What?
Limud alone does not create maisa. All the other examples were God creates the world, so he's greater, but he alone can create the world. He doesn't need additional.
Correct, so that's what's, truth be told, it's not that limud can create maisa. Limud, you have to bring your limud to maisa. But nonetheless, that's the derech that the shla takes here. Let's look at the shla here. What does the shla say? He says, let's see how he says it. They didn't just mean practically lima leads to maisa. He says, okay, so he's addressing your question, the Shla. What do you mean lima means come to maisa? There are lots of people who learn and know what's usher and do it anyway. How does lima come to maisa? Chatam come because of your gashmius. Uvam otas achomer v'stalik hamasach v'sgabrus atzura nimsa shemakar emes pol tovom. We do the wrong thing because we are too physical and not spiritual enough. If we enhance our spirituality and subdue our physicality, we'll do the right thing. V'ini b'koach haTalmud toshia misgaber seichel. Talmud makes your intellectual or your spiritual part stronger and your physical part weaker. How does Talmud lead to Maisa? Not because you know what to do. Because you can know what to do and not do it. There are people, you know, walking around who grew up very geniuses in Mea Sharim and know Kol HaTorah Kula and aren't from at all. Right? That's how does Lima lead to Maisa? Lima lead to Maisa means that if you really learn Torah properly, then it enhances your spirituality and your spirituality subdues your physicality. And then you do the right thing. It really does. The limud affects you and makes you the kind of person who does the right maisa. And everyone knows, here's the point about like God in the world, right? Everyone knows the cause is greater than the effect. And that which creates is greater than that which is created. Okay, etc. And the Maharal says something very similar. If I could read you, the Maharal says, it's not like people think you have to learn the halacha so you'll know what to do. Again, let me be very clear. Everyone also agrees you have to know the halacha to know what to do. That's just common sense. He says, that's not the godless. That's pashut. Right? No one thinks you shouldn't know what to do. Because that's the godless or that's like too obvious. That goes without saying. No, Ze'eino, he's still kind of, it's not godless just because, again, if you just have to know how to keep Shabbos, you learn Shabbos Shabbos Gachasin, that's not godless, that's practical. Torah makes you do things. Why? He calls Seichel who shall pull the Gashmi. Lakacha Torah shu Seichel is poel as bottom of Gashmi. She eats a mitzvah shetorah lepoel. Nisha Torah ilu poel. Maisi a mitzvah is goshomar. Nisha Lakacha mugadol tam Torah shu meivid leimaisi. Torah ilu poel fi yadua ki ilu gadol min asher hu alol. The same exact lashon as the Shlach. He doesn't explain it as much, but he says no. The Torah is what makes the Maisim happen. Okay, maybe he means like the Shlach. Because it transforms you into the kind of person who does masin, and therefore, what creates is always greater than the cause. I think this is like true in science or something. Like the cause has to have at least as much energy, or practically in the real world because of thermodynamics or whatever, the cause has to be greater than the effect or something.
It's a big problem.
It's a big problem. Okay, so I'm not getting into it. I'm not a physicist. I did take two semesters of physics in college. But I am smart enough to know that taking two semesters of something in college doesn't make you a physicist. But what do we see here? Seth Maral Shlach, a totally different, they turn this whole Gemara in its head. What do they say? They say, no. They say, what we mean here is that Hasiba Gedola Meha Misuvav Vaheila Gedola Meha Olol. The cause is greater than that which it causes, and therefore it doesn't mean Torah is great because it helps you do Maisa. No. Igloi Melsa Torah is great must be greater than Maisa because Torah can lead to Maisa and Maisa doesn't lead to Torah. So if you take this way, you're saying, no, Torah is ba'atzmuso amazing. You know how amazing it is? It even makes you do Maisa. But it's not that you learn Torah to do Maisa. It's that Torah is ba'atzmuso important, and then it causes you to do Maisa. So now we have two very, very different ways of looking at Talmud Torah. One way of looking at Talmud Torah is that Torah made the Maisa, the reason we learn Torah is in order to be able to keep the mitzvos. Torah is a heksher to keep the mitzvos. Tosfos Rosh says, Ein ol tzorach kiyum mitzvos. The Meiri says, Ikra li dias kiyum shar mitzvos. Rav Sadia Gaon, which I don't know if Morty put the brackets on. Rav Sadia Gaon also says that the Ikar Avod are the people who do it, not the people who paskin for them and learn how to do it. And that's why Rashi here says Maisa is Gadol. Although, as Yehuda correctly pointed out, that doesn't mean there's no additional value to the Limud, after all, Rashi Kedushin does say. The Limud is also, then you have the Limud also in your hands, but it means the Ikar value of the Limud is certainly not independent. Or you say, no, there's an independent value. The Beis Halevi beautifully says this. He doesn't quote this Yerushalmi, but he should. And the best marker for this of Hazal is the Yerushalmi, and maybe hinted out in the Drush of the Rambam quotes, maybe not. And doesn't the Gemara say maybe the Maisa? So you could say like the Ritva, it's also maybe the Maisa. And then, okay, also maybe the Maisa, does that mean it's really important in and of itself, or just a little important in and of itself? We want to stretch. We can say it's really important in and of itself, and also maybe the Maisa, or even better, the Shlach and the Maharal say, it doesn't mean it's great because it's maybe the Maisa. It means it's great, and the proof that it's great is that it's so great that it's maybe the day Maisa, and the only great things are maybe the day less great things. Yes?
Could we say Pashtus really, the Machlokas is about the Yerushalmi?
Maybe those are the 2 days in the Yerushalmi.
Right, exactly.
Maybe, that's what I said, maybe those are the 2 days in Yerushalmi. I'm sure of one of them, I'm not sure of the other. One day it says, all the mitzvahs in the world are not worth a word of Torah. That's clearly the Beis Halevi side of the Chakira. The other day seems to say, no, all the mitzvahs of the world are worth more than a word of Torah. Does that mean they're the other side of the Chakira? Or no, they just think that one word of Torah is not worth more than all the mitzvahs in the world, but it could be that all the Torah is worth more than all the mitzvahs in the world.
Then, on principle, it's a machlokes about the Yerushalmi.
Correct. So, you're right. So, it could be a machlokes about the Yerushalmi or a machlokes about Yerushalmi, very fair. I just want to end with a summary, if you will allow me, of... let's just summarize then, what is the point of learning Torah? Why do we learn Torah? Why is learning Torah such a gadol, right, such an important part of Judaism? Again, learning Torah being an important part of Judaism is not a yeshivish hamsah invention, meaning gadol, talmud, talmud, le'maisa, the Amoraim were sitting and learning all the time. They said Avraham was a zaka v'yoshev yeshiva. Clearly, learning Torah has always been an ikar part of Judaism. But why is learning Torah such an ikar part of Judaism? So, you got the board, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why is learning Torah such an integral part of Judaism? So what is the purpose? Obviously, there doesn't have to be only one answer, right? More than one answer could be true. One level is the Tosos Rush in Bava Kamma, and the Meiri in Bava Kamma, and the Shiltos all... Does the Shiltos sound that way? What does he say? He says... okay, he's not so... maybe not as explicit, but they are very, very... they are very, very explicit. Second. Yeah, the Shiltos all says, if you look at the Shiltos, I put on the Makaro sheet in the Baram Tzarech Talmud or Maisa Izam and Kodem, Maisa Odif, the Talmud Gufim Shemaisu, the Asa, the Tan, the Midrashu, Eker, La Maisa, Odilma Talmud Odif. What do you say? The Ilav Talmud, Lo Yadil Mebid Maisa. Ilav Talmud, Lo Yadil Mebid Maisa. If not for the Talmud, you wouldn't know what to do, right? So he sounds like, right, says the Shiltos, to know what to do. So one derech is, it's to know what to do, maybe the demaisa. However, even within maybe the demaisa, there could be a different kind of maybe the demaisa, right? There could be a different kind of maybe the demaisa. And that, we've already seen in the Shlah, right, the Shlah, say, so you know how it's maybe the demaisa? It's maybe the demaisa because it transforms your personality. It makes you a holier kind of, a more spiritual kind of person. That's maybe the demaisa. You used to be a gashmiyistic person. Now when you learn Torah, you become a ruchniyistic person. A ruchniyist well, actually, I'm sorry. Let me go back for a second. I want to mention the Meiri here. The Meiri right here has an interesting lashon. The Meiri right here in our daf, I apologize for going out of order a little. But what does the Meiri here say? He says, Shatalma miyapes amaisu mashlimo. Learning makes the maisa more yofa and shalim. Va mitzvah muhuderes yosir, she yosir piyadeim yana. And the mitzvah is more muhuder when it comes from someone who understands the inyan. Now here I'm not sure what he means. Does he mean just, you won't mess up the halachos? It sounds like a little more than that. Like, if you understand the ideas of a mitzvah and how it works, you will do it in a more muhuder way. Not just, you won't mess up a detail. He might mean that. But he might mean, no, you'll do it with a deeper understanding and appreciation of what you're doing. You'll do it with a deeper kavanah. It's definitely true. If someone learns about a mitzvah, then when they do the mitzvah, they do it not just, they don't mess up the details, but they do it with a deeper sense of meaning and appreciation and kavanah because they understand what's going on. So maybe that's what the Meiri means. So, right, maybe that's the kavanah of the Meiri here. I was never sure. I can't prove it. Does it just mean it's yafa and mahoder because you don't mess up details because you forgot a little halacha? It doesn't sound, to me it sounds like, no, it's just be'etzem more mahoder. If a guy learns Masechta Sukkah and he shakes the lulav, even if he shakes it the same as the next guy, he's shaking it with more depth.
It fits. Haven't we seen before when he writes in the Hakdama to this the way to maximize what you get is by learning about it?
Yeah, okay, excellent. So, what does he say? He says, no, it deepens your understanding and experience of the mitzvah. Okay, it's still very similar. It has to do with enhancing a particular mitzvah. However, we've seen, there's a different madriga. The different madriga is what the Shlah says. Says the Shlah, it's not, you don't learn just so you'll know how to do mitzvah X or mitzvah Y. You learn to transform yourself into a different kind of person, to change your priorities and values. When you change your priorities and values, all of a sudden all of life is different. The point of learning is to transform your character. That's what he says, right? To make you more ruchnis, less gashmis. Or, what I think the Tosri Zaken is saying on the side of Maseches Kiddushin there. The reason I say I think the Tosri Zaken is because it's in brackets, and I don't... Ooh, that's nice and big. And I don't know exactly what it means if something's in brackets in the Tosri Zaken. Okay? I'm sure someone does. I just don't. But he says something very nice. He says, Balirmos, because it sounds almost like someone's later is interpreting, making a diuk in the word Tosri Zaken. Okay, someone written in the Tosri Zaken in Kiddushin says... Shachocha mitzad chochmosu yagiel amaisa sholim v'atov u'kinyin amidos atovos. It says, what does it mean by the maisa? You get midos tovos by learning Torah. V'u'kinyin amidos atovos u'mutzos, and the middle path. U'mishu baltunos tovos levad lo yagiel chochma. If you have chochma, it enhances your midos. Midos don't necessarily give you chochma. Mitzad atunos atovos. Gam maisim shu also inol derech nechona v'lo derech ha'emes kol shor mizal v'ru yuchiv lomar. It's chasach inol mada shiyeda maisim shu atov mitzad atzmo. Okay, but what is he throwing here? He says, I'll read it again. Shachach mitzad chachmosu yagiel ha'maisa shalim batov gets the maisa shalim batov, which is kinyin amidos atovos from mitzos. Learning Torah improves your amidos. When you learn Torah, it makes you a better person. It transforms your character.
He interprets maisa not as mitzos.
Correct. Although then he says the midos lead to the maisa, but says the shla and the tosus riyazakein says no, it transforms your character. The truth is the Chazon Ish, I put in brackets, says something similar in his philosophical work in Minu Bitachon. He says learning Torah is not just so you'll know what to do; it's that when you learn Torah, you acquire the midah of hishtabdus to avodas Hashem. Every time you learn Torah, you are transforming your character to be someone who cares about Avodas Hashem. Because you're learning about Avodas Hashem, and therefore, you're going to do the right thing. So that's the power to transform personality, and we have this put very nicely in the Rivash. The Shut Rivash, okay, this is the famous Shut Rivash in the debates about learning philosophy. He was not a big fan of learning philosophy, and what does he say at the end? I'll just go to the end, even though there's a lot of nice things here. Velotimsa Yerushamayim v'Yerushchedu Zrizas v'Anava v'Tar v'Kedusha Elov v'Maskin b'Mishno v'Talmud Ad Kam Moshna Tshuva. Right, says the, and here he's quoting actually Rav Haigon. He says, quoting Rav Haigon, he says you only find Yerushamayim v'Yerushchedu Zrizas v'Anava v'Tar v'Kedusha by people who learn Gemara. What does he mean by that? He means that it transforms your character, right? So what else should we add to this? Add the Rivash. The shame of Haigon, right? That Torah transforms your character. It's not just a way to technically know what to do, or even to ba'amkas know what to do, like the Meiri says here. It's a way to become a different kind of person. When you learn Torah, you're learning, you're getting the values of Hashem, you are accepting upon yourself to think like Hashem, to follow the ways of Hashem, you're prioritizing the Dvar Hashem, and I think I hinted at two things. Number one, just by learning Torah per se, since I spend my time prioritizing learning what Hashem wants me to do, I become the kind of person who cares what Hashem wants me to do. That's what the Chazon Ish emphasizes. And maybe that's what the Rivash means. And also, specifically, everything I learn in Torah teaches me some positive spiritual lesson, which causes me to become more spiritual. And I think the Makor of that in Shas is very clear. The whole last parak of Pirkei Avos, right? Or, I know it's not real Mishnah. But what is the Parakinyan Torah, right? What does it say in the quote-unquote sixth parak of Pirkei Avos? Kol osu b'Torah l'shma zochel dvarim harbe nikra reya ovo samakam ovo zabriya samech samakam ovo zabriya ovo bashto anova v'yira. Okay, that sounded like the Rivash. Umach shakul shtadik v'choshim yashav v'neman marchak malbashto anova v'yira doesn't mean now I know how to keep Shabbos because I learned from your Shabbos kolchasa. Mabashto enough of the year means it transforms my personality. The Torah has power, has educational power, not just technical educational power, right? This is like, right, what do we call this in the secular world? The difference between reality and humanity, humanities and sciences, right? If you're learning math, it makes you better because now you know how to calculate things. If you're learning engineering, it makes you better because now you know how to build a bridge. And so if you ask the literature teacher, and why does it make you better if you learn literature? Not because now you know how to write Shakespeare or how to type Shakespeare. Because it makes you a better person. Okay, they're probably also right, but not on the same level as the Shla is right, and the Tosri Azakin is right. But that's exactly the difference. There's the engineering, and there's the humanities, right? That Torah makes you a better person just because it causes you to deepen your understanding of yourself and your understanding of life and the world. LP, the Mishnah in Avos, Mishnah quote unquote. Okay, we don't have to be such medaktikim. Okay, that's another level, but I think there might even be another level as well. The Rav is very fond of building on the Rambam that I mentioned before, who says Zavoda. What is Avoda? Avoda is really, we think of Avodas HaKarbonos, etc. Avoda means like Shibud, service.
how I understand how avodas karbonos is service, like I'm being meshabed myself by bringing a symbolic acknowledgement of subservience. How is Torah avoda? How is Torah avoda? You could say it's improving your midos. That doesn't make it avoda like tefillin karbonos. You could say it helps you know how to do things. It doesn't make it avoda. So the Rav is very fond of this idea that how is Torah avoda? So he says, because ultimately, Torah is avoda because by learning Torah, ipso facto, by learning Torah, if I'm learning, obviously I mean learning the Shema. I don't mean the highest level of Shema, just regular the Shema, regular people the Shema. If I am learning the Torah, such as means Hashem commanded me X, Y, and Z. I am learning and accepting X, Y, and Z. And the Rav says, very mefurish, actually, the Rishima's right here. Both dinim, the Beis HaLevi's din also, is only Al Tanai that you're going to be Kayim Torah. If you're learning intellectually, but you're not going to be from, then it doesn't count. But he says, ultimately, just by learning, I am accepting among myself the O Malcha Shemayim. I am saying I am receiving Hashem's commandment. Whether I end up actually in this situation or not, maybe I'll never be in the situation described in this Gemara, but I'm accepting about myself that I am Mekabel Hashem's commandment. I am learning what Hashem wants me to do because I'm Mekabel myself to do what Hashem wants me to do. And ultimately for the Rav, I think a very important part of Talmud Torah was this Kabbalah Ol Malchus Shemayim, which by the Rav even liked very much when you learn parts of Torah that didn't make sense to you. Let's say there were chukim that we don't understand. He says that's the best kind of Talmud Torah. That's the best kind of Avodah. Because not just, oh, Tak, Hashem had a suggestion, and I agree. But it's like, okay, if Hashem sets a mekabel upon yourself, when you're mekabel the das of the Torah, and ultimately the Rav admitted, no matter what you're learning, at a certain point, you wouldn't have thought what the Torah says, right? If all of us would have thought on our own what the Torah says, you wouldn't need the Torah. It's clear that none of us on our own would have come up with everything in the Torah. So what does that mean? At a certain point, you thought X, and the Torah said not X. So either you think the Torah is wrong and you keep what you think, or you think you're wrong and you accept what the Torah says. When you're mevatel daitul das haTorah, that's avoda. Avoda means you're negating yourself, saying I thought one way, but Hashem thinks otherwise, and I believe what Hashem says. For the Rav, that's the greatest avoda because it's very nice. You wanted to eat this, Hashem told you not to, you didn't eat it. You want to do this nus, Hashem told you not to, you didn't do it. You know, you want to take this money, Hashem told you not to, you didn't do it. That's just gashmius. But what's more important, your money and your cheeseburger, or your thoughts and your mind? I thought X, but Hashem said Y, so I changed my mind and accepted Y, even though I didn't think that on my own. That's the greatest avoda to Hashem. So the Rav emphasized this based on, not the Rishivas here, but in his philosophical writings. Al Pi, the Rambam, Sefer HaMitzvos, the avoda, and really that's the deepest avoda. The Rav is very into this idea, you know. The Rav, he loved to say this. I don't know if he loved to say it because it got a rise out of people. He says, people think Judaism is against human sacrifice. Judaism is very much in favor of human sacrifice. Just human sacrifice doesn't mean killing people. It means a deeper sacrifice than that. It means the internal human sacrifice, not that you shecht someone's with a knife. It means the internal human sacrifice. And for the Rav, the most internal of the internal human sacrifice was Talmud Torah, because what that means is that even though I wouldn't have thought this on my own, I believe it because Hashem thinks it. And I think this is very important, the avoda of, you know, mevatel daito, ledas hamakom. And of course, we have to end with this wild, I don't know if it's coincidence or not. I'm not a big enough historian or philosopher or mystic or whatever it takes to answer whether it's coincidence or not. We know back in the day they made chassidus, the Baal Shem Tov made chassidus, the Gra opposed chassidus, okay. I don't have words to describe how strongly he opposed it. The Gra's greatest Talmud was Rav Chaim Volozhin, one of the greatest of the followers of the Besht. I'm not getting involved in those things. One of them was clearly the Baal HaTanya, the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. And they were opponents in everything. They happened to write a philosophy book, Nefesh HaChaim and Tanya, and they said the exact same thing about Talmud Torah. In some sentences, almost word for word. Okay, then they dressed it up and tied it into in slightly different ways. But, so I have no idea if, I don't know why or how they said the same thing. Is it just Minas Shamayim? Is it just that great minds think alike? But they both say you think they're always the opposite. They both say the exact same thing. Say, what's the amchus of Lima Torah? Say, the greatest level of Lima Torah, says the Tanya and the Nefesh HaChaim, is that ultimately, what's the difference between me and Hashem? A lot of things.
One of them is that I'm physical, so I have physical properties. Hashem has no physical properties. He doesn't have, you know, a space and color and weight and length and etc., right? So what is Hashem? Hashem is ultimately purely mental. Hashem is only what he thinks, because he doesn't have a guf. I'm also a guf. Hashem is only what he thinks, he doesn't have a guf. So all the Hashem is ultimately just what he thinks. What does Hashem think? Hashem thinks the Torah, which is why it says in the Zohar that Hashem and the Torah, etc., are one. What does Hashem think the Torah? So he says, fascinating. People think that to really know God, you have to be a deep mystic and a Kabbalist and learn all the spheros and all the Kabbalah, etc., which both of them were. But, says the Nefesh HaChaim, he says, no, there's actually a much simpler and more effective way to know Hashem. If Hashem is only his Ratzon, because he's not physical and he's only spiritual, mental, what is Hashem's Ratzon? Hashem's Ratzon is in the Torah. So, for example, if it says that a Tam is Meshalim Nezik Shalim Yigufo, that's Hashem's Ratzon. If you know that Tam is Meshalim Nezik Shalim Yigufo, by definition, you know Hashem, greater than the Kuvalim know Hashem. Nezik Shalom, I guess I don't know Hashem as well as I should. Chetzi Nezik Migufo, and Thomas, and Moed Shalom Nezik Shalom and Aliyah, then you actually know some aspect of Hashem greater than all the Mekubalim who learn all the Sphiros. Right? Because Hashem's essence is only a Ratzon, and his Ratzon is only the Torah. So therefore, he says, by definition, now, it sounds to us like if you just know that Tom is Meshalim, Chatzin Ezim Gufa, Moed Shalom Shalom and Aliyah, you just know some technical things about oxes, and we don't even have oxes nowadays in our streets. So what's the big deal? He says, no, that's actually the only way to know Hashem. Now, this is a tremendous philosophical chiddush. For this, you have to read the whole halachic mind of the Rav to understand properly. I'm not going to get into it, but it's a tremendous philosophical chiddush. How do you actually know Hashem? You can't know Hashem through philosophy, because philosophy can't really capture Hashem. But you can know Hashem through Torah, because philosophy is just us trying to figure out Hashem, and we can't. Torah is Hashem revealed his Ratzon. Once Hashem revealed his Ratzon, if you know his Ratzon, you know him, because Hashem is only Ratzon, he has no goal. Therefore, says the Tanya, this is, and the Nefesh HaChaim, he says, nope, it is Be'etzem Yediyas HaTorah equals Yediyas Hashem Be'etzem. Right? The only way to actually know Hashem is to know the Torah, because that's his Ratzon. Everything else is just philosophizing. And therefore, basically, when I think, even though it seems so unspiritual and very technical, etc., the ox is goring and tort law, etc., but no, if I know Bava Kamma, it's only one of the 60 Masechtas, right? But I actually have a 60th knowledge of Hashem in my mind. By definition, I know Hashem. Greater than all the philosophers who do theology. Interestingly enough, the Nefesh HaChaim wrote a whole book of Kabbalah. Nefesh HaChaim is all Kabbalah. And in the book of Kabbalah, he says, and you know what? If you learn Bava Kamma, you know Hashem better than if you learn all of Kabbalah. But that's ultimately saying, that's like the secret passage, the shortcut to knowing Hashem is ultimately knowing the Torah. It's really an amazing thing. And ultimately, some of these are, maybe you can be my son. What the Rav said, what the Nefesh HaChaim says, is beyond maybe the Deimaisa. Maybe the Shlatz also maybe the Deimaisa, etc. Maybe the Deimaisa in a technical sense. Maybe the Deimaisa in a little deeper technical sense. Maybe the Deimaisa in a transformative sense. Or no, forget about maybe the Deimaisa. It's not about maybe the Deimaisa. It's just about how great it is. Okay, so that's a little bit of a skira of what Talmud Torah is all about, which really all comes out of Machlokes Rashi and Tosos on our daf. Let's just finish up. We can't stop now without finishing the parak. We worked hard all year. So let's finish the parak. We end with a drasha. Am Rav Yochanan, Mishom Rav Shim Bar Yochai, Mai Disav Ashrechem Zorei Kol Mayim Mishafer Regel Ashor Vacham, or what does this mean? Kol Osip Gator V'Milos Chasadim Zochel Anachla Shnei Shvatim. Whoever is Osip Gator V'Milos Chasadim gets equivalent to the Nachla of the two greatest Shvatim, who got the best Nachla. Shenemar Ashrechem Zorei V'in Zriel Tzedakah. Zorei means Tzedakah. Shenemar Zriel Lochem Tzedakah V'kishvul Fi Chasid. Vein mayim la Torah. Zorei kol mayim, zorei tzedakah, and mayim is Torah. Shenemar hoy kol tzomi l'chula mayim. V'zocha l'nachla shnei shvatim, zocha l'kila ki yosef. Kila might mean a honor or praise. Literally, it means like a canopy, but that was often used to mean honor and praise. They put you in a canopy in public. D'chsev bein paras yosef, benot tzada alik shor, so shor is yosef. V'zocha l'nachla yisachar, d'chsev yisachar chamor garim, he's the chamor. Is the Amri, some say, oh, you have no one of Yosef, your enemies will fall before you like Yosef. It's not that you get the nachlos of Yosef and Yisachar, you get defeating your enemies like Yosef. And you get the wisdom of, or the understanding of Yisachar. So we see here, interestingly, we tie up this thing about Torah and Maisa.
If you have Torah and Maisa, Torah and Gemilas Chasadim, then you get the greatest reward. So maybe that's a tie into our sugya. It's also worth pointing out that these psukim are familiar to us. Meshalchei regel shorachamar. How do we know v'shilach is be'iro, v'shilach is regel and be'er shame? Meshalchei regel shorachamar. Bahem amam yinagach achdav. How do we know that negicha is bekeren, beizim with beiz? Bahem amam yinagach yachdav. Yinagach yachdav afseir. It's basically, these are the psukim that in the beginning of our perek, I assume it's not coincidence that these psukim were familiar to me. Not because I'm a Bucky in Tanakh. They're familiar to me because it's in this parak. We learned it this year in Bava Kama. It's a first pasuk in Bava Kama, as they say in that. Maybe it's not coincidence. Here are the psukim that we learned out, all of the regel and the keren, etc. I mean, it started out, this is very technical. How do we know exactly how much you pay and which actions, etc., we dash with these psukim? We take these very same psukim, and at the end of the parak we say, and you know what these psukim really mean on a deeper level? What these psukim really mean is that if you learn the Torah, right, I think maybe what they're saying is exactly this. Don't think that just in case it comes up a case where an ox gored someone or ate something, you'll know how to judge it if you happen to be a dayan in the Beis Din. No. If you learn Torah and combine Torah with Maisa, then these same psukim will not just be a technical knowledge of how to paskin tort law in Bava Kama, but these same psukim mean that if you learn Torah properly and you combine it with Maisa, you get all the brachas of the Torah, you get the nachlos of the Shvatim, you get tremendous bracha in Gashmias, you get tremendous bracha in the economic realm, in the political realm, you get tremendous bracha in the intellectual realm of the Bina, and I think it's just a very nice way to end the perek, that the same psukim we started with, which were in a very technical sense, are really teaching us something much, much broader, that if we learn all those technical halachas, ultimately we'll get to the Nachla Shnei Shvatim and all the brachos and the Mirtz Hashem. We shall be zocha to continue learning many, many Messiah, okay? Not like the Lashem that's printed back there. We shall be zocha to Messiah many prakim and mesechtos acherim, and to be zocha to Nachla Shnei Shvatim. Mirz Hashem. Next week we'll start with the newsman of Maseches Horios. Mirz Hashem. It's mutter to start learning before Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, if you wish. Just start from the beginning of Masechet, and I will send out Makoros. Mirz Hashem. Shkayach.
Here on Monday.
What?
What time will we start on Monday?
Can we keep the regular times?
Yeah.
Keep the regular year schedule.
Yeah. Good.
Until we change it.
At least for now.
Yes.
Correct.